You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
It's 23. Here we go. It's 23:33. We have Uninstalled Media, and we have Delquan in the chat. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
How's it going? And don't forget Napoleon Wilson too.
Ah, and Napoleon Wilson myself.
Napoleon
me.
Wilson. We've been warming up.
I keep going to say Denny.
Denny, this is James, and we have Del Qua from Ireland.
Who is Joe? Well, everyone knows me as Joe too. So.
Joe.
So it's Joe, James, and Denny. I'd say Joe, James, and Denny. There you go.
Went into
JJD,
the
there might be some numerology in the JJ combo.
11-11-4. 4-11-11. We don't know. Where were we, gentlemen?
We started talking about natural born killers and Oliver Stone and Robert Downey Jr. and Woody Harrelson and what's her name? Juliette Lewis, I think. But
Lewis.
Yeah, we did hit on Demi Moore's miscarriage and Bruce Willis's hair transplant in between, talking about was it Chuck Norris's leg? Yeah, Chuck Norris's book. Yeah, so
Chuck's when Chuck goes to the monastery or to the convent and becomes a nun. Chuck's
nun. Either.
Who else is Chuck Norris? If we're gonna take the Dallas Goldbug view, who is Chuck Norris? Is it some crazy guy from history? I'm trying to think. I'm racking my brain here. Who could it be? Chuck Norris, one of the guys from the Bee Gees. I think Chuck Norris was.
Hey there from there, Gibbs,
don't something,
call.
Something Gibbs, like Jerry Gibb from the Bee Gees.
But you mean Barry Gibb, don't you? No, Barry Gibb's God.
Yeah. Barry, dude.
Barry Gibb plays God. He's God, sir. He's the one. He's Buddy Christ, Barry Gibb. No, I think Chuck Norris has got a, I don't know, he always reminds me like when the Sesame Street tribes were going real. You know, they tried making puppets that were real. And it's like they did one, and then they went, no, we're not going to do it, and just carried off the Chuck Norris, and that was it.
But anyway, before we came in here, and I was saying about, we started off talking about movies like Pulp Fiction, and, you know, we said did Reservoir Dogs and all that, and if you go back a bit further, there was the Natural Born Killers one, but that really brought the media into it, like, big time, where the Robert Downey Jr. character, Dwayne Gale, he sort of turned out to be as bad as the Woody Harrelson character and whatever, you know, but he was filming
it
all.
He was kind of facilitating the whole thing.
You know, a bit ironic.
They call it breaking the fourth wall. The on-screen is talking directly to the audience. The camera, and I think they call it breaking the fourth wall, right?
They literally did, and they left him out under a tree with his testimony, his video tape. And it was all pretty I don't know, and everything, but with this taking the piss out of both the American public that watch all this stuff and the media in itself, you know.
That was kind of, that came out like after the OJ trial, I think, right? Right around that same
time. All around the same time, the OJ thing, the 10 mile an hour fucking car chase with the big white Bronco. You know,
worst car chase ever.
Yeah, it was like, and then you had the television series then, the trial, of course, and all the various characters within, not just in the murder case itself, but then the the actual court was the characters, you know.
Did you watch that, Del, when it was live?
Yes, so the people in back then, right? This was just in the late '90s, and people were just, you know, Coronation Street. EastEnders took a back thing to the fucking OJ trial. They were broadcast, Sky News were broadcasting it live. And they were doing that, you know, this was sort of like setting the scene for sort of, you know, what we have these days. You know, like this was pre-9/11 and this was like building up.
Pre-reality TV too, like this was pre-reality TV. And actually.
What year was OJ? Was it?
OJ, it was the early 90s, like 93. If I'm not mistaken.
Right.
It might have even been a little bit later, would it have been?
I don't know. I'm totally oblivious to it. I mean, I remember it going on because my friend had Sky. We used to knock on and see it. It was literally a month.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I was actually kind of wrong. This was wrong. The swearing in, the jury swearing in was 1994 on the OJ trial, and Natural Born Killers came out in August 26, 94. So Natural Born Killers actually came out a couple months before the OJ trial got into full swing.
Yeah. And of course, the trial then was a little bit later than the actual incident itself, you know, like the.
We had a 300-day, probably 500-day film that year because when Natural Born Killers was released on the cinema screen, obviously everyone went mental for it before and after. It was still being talked about. So we had that. Combined with the OJ Simpson trail, which is always shown to be blood and, you know, and the sheets and things like that. So we have pretty much blood and the eroticism of murder, if there is such a thing.
And it's the media pimping all this up. In Natural Born Killers, part of the storyline is that this guy, Wayne Gale, Robert Downey Jr.'s character, is pimping all of this for his, you know, views, for his network's ratings. And concurrently, we have the OJ trial. It's fucking spectacular.
I've never seen it.
And, you know, even after that, then, you see, the way it was done, it was really fucking strange. There was this television show that came out, right? Pretty much, it was like as if they tailored it for coming out just after when the OJ trial was finished. Right. They couldn't milk that any longer and have so many sidebars and delays. And you remember all that stuff was going on and it was all live or well, allegedly, like, you know what I mean? But it was sort of, you know, people were watching it every day of the week. They brought out a television series called, my memory is gone, but you guys might remember it was the same thing. There was someone got killed. There was a sort of big public trial. It was all about the prosecution. This baldy guy was the prosecutor. He was the star of the show. And this thing was sort of rolled out just at the end of the so-called real trial. You know, it's all fiction.
To give weight towards the judicial system.
Sort of anyway, you know, because there's always been something like, you know, like that, you know. But this... The way they did this one, do you remember the program I'm talking about?
No, you say I never did. I sort of remember Prime Suspects, and that was about it. I never really got into anything pretty much.
This one was there. It was right at the same time as the OJ, just after the OJ stopped. This thing started up on Sky. I think it was just called Murder. I think it was just called Murder or something like that.
Right.
And it was just
Are you talking about case thing. Murder?
No.
No, okay.
No, how's it going, man? Unless it was all that America.
What's your real name, One for Truth? Can't keep calling you One for Truth. I know you told that.
Just call me Tal. T-A-L.
Tal, that's it. Yeah. Nice to meet you, Tal.
Nice to meet you, too.
Hey, Tal.
Hey.
I'm Benny. Just call me Dan.
Del, it's so funny that you brought up the O.J. Simpson thing, because I was talking to Vidir today at lunch, and she brought that up too. We were just talking about it, so I don't want to interrupt. So continue.
We were talking about the confluence of Natural Killers, the film, being released right at the same time the OJ trial was hitting the media, and kind of how like the media is telling us, you know.
Are you talking about recently?
That coincided with our primetime program, which is called Crime Watch.
Back in the 90s, back in the 90s.
Crime Watch from the 90s. We're Crime Watch in the 90s, which coincided with all these things. Mm-hmm. Started in 1992.
You know what's kind of funny? about the OJ Simpson thing is that when they recently came out with like did like a Lifetime kind of thing where they redid the whole thing. It was like a movie that came out, like a TV series kind of thing about the OJ Simpson trial that came out. And the same week that that came out, there was a new housewife on the Housewives of Beverly Hills, and she was actually one of the people from the OJ Simpson trial too.
Oh, really?
It was like all this coincidence all at the same time, you know?
Nice.
Well, it's not coincidence, it's affirmations, and basically that's what it is, it's affirmations. It's not coincidence, it's for that reason. It's a control the environment that we're watching. So it's not coincidence, nothing ever is. Just like the people you talk to when you listen to, you know, it's not coincidence talking about things that you want to hear.
I'm with you, I don't believe in coincidence either. Sigmund Freud's always said there's no such thing as coincidence.
And yeah, I think the best expression for that is God, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous.
And Pulp Fiction had come out in 1994, so right before the OJ trial, you know, before Pulp Fiction had come out, kind of setting a new standard for violence and acceptance of these images in the media. And then, you know, fast forward to the Bloody Glove and...
But we did get the Pulp Fiction era was it prequel with the Japanese, like sort of, you know, the blood and guts of the robbery movies.
Hmm.
So we sort of did get about a year and a half of that.
We got the spaghetti westerns were the same, Duke. Sort of,
yes.
Samurai, like the seven, what was it, the seven samurai were like the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah. What was his name? I forgot. But anyway, yeah. Nevertheless, yeah. That's what always makes me laugh about Star Wars. People talk about Star Wars and it's like, no, it's not. Star Wars is like literally a Kurosawa film with, you know, a princess on a horse and a fat, you know, two bumbling slaves. One of them is R2-D2, the other one's C-3PO.
And Natural Born Killers came out August 26, 1994. Pulp Fiction was released October 14th, 1994. So just a couple months, a few months later, and then
I remember going to see it on the cinema. Still remember it like it existed.
Yeah, so 1994 was, you know, it was a big year for cinema, kind of like 1999, actually.
Yeah. And if you go back, funny enough, I was talking to a friend of mine last night about, because he told me that your man Barry Norman was dead, who was a very famous film reviewer over here.
Barry Norman's died.
He's died, yeah, but he's had a BBC show for years, and I always...
When did he die, Dale?
Last night or the night before.
I have no idea, man. He's my first experience of TV on my own, the first thing I watched on my own telly in my bedroom.
I always refer to it. It was just called Film. Right?
And I remember Film 87. Film 87 was my one.
Well, that's what we were talking about, and mine was Film 79. I always used to call it Film 79. And we actually went back and looked at it, but that's another
story. No, it's not another story. It's the same story. God can't tell us.
It's another strange one, you know, but the amount of movies that came out in 79 as well. And I was wondering
Taxi Driver.
I was wondering why.
Oh, no, 76. Sorry.
Lots of them. But anyway, forget about that for a minute. We're back onto this thing. Do you remember I said about the murder thing that just came out at the same time when the OJ trial was closing down?
Was it like a real crime kind of drama, true story type of thing?
An actual court case drama thing, and it was called Murder One. I wasn't too far off it. I put a link in the live stream there so you can see it there from the thing there. There'd be ads on in between Sky News's sort of broadcasting of the OJ thing, and you'd see ads for this thing coming up. Done in the same kind of, got everybody into the, and this was pre Ally McBeal. You see, then they brought in.
Ally McBeal.
Yeah. This one was like fucking. Everyone is just like stuck on OJ Simpson. What are they going to do after OJ Simpson?
That looks like a snippet from Third Rock from the Sun.
Give us an inspirational story about a lawyer struggling to do right in the world. Yeah. Ally McBeal.
And then, this particular one, the murder one, I think came out in 1995. They're all around the same time, man, you know. And plus, they're priming everybody for the major TV production coming up to the millennium, you know, the 9/11 television show.
Well, what they're saying is, you know, this is how justice works. This is the system and it's real. So just deal with it. And, you know, you do wrong, this is how we're going to get you. And it's also about, you know, creating fear in the population.
No, I know exactly what you're saying there, James, but right, I've got two ideas for you. I'm new, even the first one, right? The first one is, you got Man v Food, haven't you? But a guy goes in and gets a plate of shit and literally sits there and everyone and he eats it and goes fucking mental, right? I've got a better problem for it. A woman, a black woman comes in, takes all the food he's got on his plate and goes out and feeds 9 kids, right? There's one problem for it. Then it's the heartstrings going, right? Remember that app I was telling people about? Anyone remember? My app. And if someone wants to make $1 million, they can do. I've got an app here which is literally perfect for them, right? All you do is, you scan in your work contract, okay? And every time you have a day off, you press the button when you have a day off. And then what happens is when you're allowed a day off, you wake up that morning and there's a message there saying you can have a day off. Right? What kind of app is that? That is the best app going. Yeah? There you go. There's two ideas going. See, this is what's daft about. Ideas are bollocks. It's about if you're going to do something. And I'm not going to do anything. And not many of us are. You know what I mean? We can all talk about this, and this is what's good about it. There's been someone who hears stuff like, well, especially Del. Del says weird stuff. You say weird stuff. But I know you all make sense because you read books and shit. But it's true. You do change fucking worlds. You change my world, man. I'm it with people. And I say things just on comment. I've heard a few say, and Chris Hulksbusters and stuff like that. And they come back and it actually makes sense to me. Oh, yeah, I've stopped doing that. You know, so maybe just communication. But what we do is we get it convoluted with this fucking TV. You know, when really all we're doing is we're looking for.
I'm still looking.
Common ground. So, sorry, Dad. Sorry. What am I wondering after that?
Oh, yeah. But I'm just still looking at this fucking picture of the Murder One. You know.
He looks like Third Rock from the Sun to me. You've got fucking, what's his name? John Lithgow. And then you've got the weird alien. And then you've got the transsexual woman.
Yeah, that was a big one for quite a while. You know, DC was promoting. Yeah.
And then Batman's brother on the left, whatever his name is.
There's two fucking towers in the background there.
Spotted that, mate. Didn't want to bring out what he'd have to point out. He was leaving that one for Ab.
They even look like the Twin Towers. Same sort of like window construction. Yeah,
just in the lovely blue sky in between and the superimposed victims all standing there. They just need to hide it.
Look at my tie. My tie goes below. Aren't I powerful? I am a lawyer. I tell you what's real. Look at my pose. Look at this.
And they're all
that,
looking
that down. That is from the view of the defendant.
They're looking down on us, man. They're all looking down at their
right. They're looking down.
Plead guilty. Plead guilty.
And, you know, what's with your one sticking her breasts out and your man with his hands in his pocket? That's very intimidating. And the other guy looks like he's ready to give someone a box.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been hit with these images. I mean, I'm sure, what's his name, Mr. E2000, I'd have a ball. He'd say to her, stand up straight. Yeah, don't matter. Oh, I never told you, did I? I was on a podcast with, John Humeyer, and he was putting pictures of Shakira up, and I was there for about an hour, and he'd not mentioned the hips, don't lie.
When was that, man?
About March or April, and he literally was on there for ages, and he was chatting about, he's on Shakira and done other things, and like, I'll come for the next one, and he did, he said something else, and I was like, that the hips don't lie. And then he did a podcast saying, Shakira, the hips don't lie. Honestly, some of these people are thick as fuck, you know. Honestly. It's almost like they get given it and they go, right, transgenderism, okay. And no, I'm not saying it's a shield, but it's a shield. So there you go. Yeah, I can, so, sorry about that. I know Kung Fu. That's all I know.
Awesome.
I got a spanner back on James tonight, Del.
I thought you got that last night, man.
Oh, last night, yeah, sorry. It all blends in together. Right, I told him not to give me one. It's spanner. That's naughty, that. Shouldn't do that. Now, I have to change my ways now.
Don't let the spanner go to your head, brah.
No. Oh, James, do you know what happened? I it was nice because I had it taken off me, but I still had finishing up, and Del go, what are you doing? So Del was there, but now I sort of arrived about half an hour before, and I'm going, oh, I should do it here. Oh, it's so tempting. It really is. It's, this Panopticon, it will not take any construction at all.
Yeah. They're all over the place if you haven't seen them. In the so-called flat earth, you know, like you see the same people are there and fucking, oh, it's just, you know.
So what we're talking about is like this blending, this realm of people who are potentially actors interacting with online communities for whatever reason. Maybe they need the money. Maybe they are out of work. Maybe they're bored, you know, maybe it's just their hobby. But it's like, I keep coming back to this idea that there is like this part of the acting world where there's people who are out of work. They need something to do. And there's all these lures. There's bait in the water, right? There's people fishing for potential, you know, catches. And they put these things out there. They say, hey, there's this opportunity. And some people fucking bite that bait, man.
Yeah.
This is like I say, with someone going to work somewhere else, a lot of money, being far away from the family. It all depends what will entice you away or will entice you away from your beliefs. If you believe that government and the people that are in charge of the artist stuff, we'll say what you've got to call it, are running the place and you're doing it for benevolent reasons, then you can pretty much get behind there anything because
you know what's popular? You know what's even more popular these days is people who don't believe anything and people who will say anything to get a rise out of people, you know, or just for their own gain or whatever. It's like, I think nihilism is even more potent than fucking a targeted agenda. It's like
that's what we all know. Is it mockery, then violent abuse.
If you're looking to exploit someone to promote a certain agenda, would you rather have a nihilist or someone who actually believes something? You know, would you rather have somebody who will say anything or somebody who has a targeted message? It's like,
well, it depends because they could both mean the same thing. If you science, I mean, people talk about science and literally to one person, it does sound constructive and brilliant. But to another person, it's nihilistic. When people talk about DNA and, oh, the mapping of genes and blah, 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 blah. That is nihilistic. That's literally like death for a thousand bucks.
You know, 98% of it is junk. Yeah. We don't know why it's there.
It's death for a thousand cuts. It's like, blah, 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 blah. This is it. We can break you down. So, yeah, but also, no, remember, this is all about how you take on information. Dell's putting out pictures of this since I was there on Ian. What's the name of the program? Murder One. That's what M1. There you go. That's a motorway.
BBC One.
but that is a motorway in England. Sarah said to the
M1, Murder One.
Yeah. No, but the thing is what is nihilistic behavior and what is what is considered upbeat nowadays? Because when you go and watch a pop concert, all of a sudden you've got, what's the name? Miley Cyrus sitting around with horns, fucking sticking guitars up a fanny, doing mad shit. And then you've got Lady Gaga coming out in a meat dress. And then you've got, what's it, Ariana Grande thing, and the other pretend fucking terrorist explosion there. So, you know, what are they going to do next? Seriously, what is the next step? Because it's all TV. It is all TV. And remember, if people are going to fall for it, they're going to fall for it.
Music and terrorism seem to be like combined now because with the Pulse nightclub shooting and the Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
And
you better not find ice skating.
Bataclan. We can't forget the Bataclan. That's Bataclan. Sorry.
You know, was that one of the places in France where the terrorists did?
In France, yeah, that was the Eagles of Death Metal with the shooting. That was like the first, you know, major concert venue, and then Pulse followed. And
yeah, but I think there was a few anomalies with the people that owned the buildings. Was the same owner own two of the buildings or maybe three of the buildings where the terrorist attacks took place? I'm unsure. Whether or not, but remember, I don't believe in Silverstein's bullshit anyway, it's doing 9-1. So this is all just conspiracy candidacy into the,
I was making the connection between music and this phony terrorism, like, you know, this agenda, you know, you have bands like NWA from the 90s with, you know, Kill Cops and all these rappers, even rappers who talk about 9/11 truth, like Immortal Technique, like they, you know, some of his lyrics are incredibly violent and fucking stupid. And so you have this dichotomy of, like, you know, truth and violence and stupidity being promoted through music, and it's weird.
Do you think this is my thought, but do you think that people on a fundamental basis know fuck all happened on that moment?
I don't know.
I really think if people thought that 3,000 or 2,987 people died, be more upheaval, you know, to the people. Well, for instance, yeah, work this out in your head. Right. Okay.
What happened? Let me just say real quick. Let me just say.
No, it's cool.
What happened, as an American, what happened is this thing, 9/11 happened, and the media was there to immediately pacify people with the official story. And most people bought that at the time. So it was like, you know, severe trauma, like, hey, you just got attacked. New York City got attacked. 3,000 people are dead. This terrorism shit, it's all happening. That is traumatic to the viewing populace. Yeah.
No, that makes sense. And then you get the classifying news coming in saying, we know what's going on here, blah, blah, blah. We are under attack. You've got to use the word we. Well, yeah, listen to this. See what you think about this. Right, so you've got 40,000 people working in both buildings, just on a basic level. Now, there's a number of buildings which are in a financial department there. So you can have people on the floors there that are earning up to $1 million a week. So over the 60 floors that are probably incorporated in the, you know, different deals and the different Goldman Sachs and all, you know, one of all these different real financial buildings, there's people that are earning $1 million a week. So you've got $1 million a week, so $4 million a year. $4 million a month.
You're saying how much it costs to rent these offices?
No, I'm talking about the bonuses people would have earned by doing deals and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Right, so you've got people working in there. I mean, you know, if you go and have salaries on people who are working in the financial thing, in the financial business in New York at that time, for the amount of people that were working, and it was always a figurehead in like a pyramid system where there's someone at the top within a certain amount. It was always around about 600,000-700,000 between that and like 1.7 million, you know, a week, depending on different bonuses, which you might think is a lot, but not when, you know, they can lose the same amount in a month. You know, basically it's finance bollocks. Mm-hmm. Right, so you've got these people. So you've approximately got like around 30 of these people are earning around about, say £1 million a week. So that's £1 million a week, times by four. So that's £4 million a month, times by 30. So 3, 6, 9, 12. So that's £120 million a month. Times by a year. So 365. So you can do it yourself, right? That's 1 year, right? So if there was a widow or someone in these buildings that was actually married to someone who was earning that much, you would have that times by 40. So we're in the realms of around about $2.5 billion there, right? And these are court cases that would literally.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
I fucked it up.
No, you know, you sounded right to me. But do you know what I'm saying? You know where I'm coming from there, Jake?
Yeah. There's all kinds of funny who was occupying this building and the numbers. And yeah, ostensibly they were involved in the financial industry and diplomacy. There were diplomatic offices in the WTC, as far as I know.
Well, this is another reason why it's the fireman. And I hate going on about this. It's obviously it's a fucking movie. It's like pointing out that you're watching a movie. But some people still think the firemen are real. And so the firemen run into the building. If firemen ran into
it, yeah, there's lots
if
of
they people. Did, they'd run back out laughing their asses off, man. saying the building's empty. You cannot expect.
You know what? I don't know if I told you, but I saw William Rodriguez live. You know who that is?
No.
He's the alleged janitor. He had the master key Trade Center, and he was janitor, head janitor on duty, you know, maintenance facility type guy on September 11th, 2001. And he saw his homie, you know, emerge from the 7th sub-basement with his leg ripped off from an explosion in the sub-basement. And that was his whole story. And, you know, I saw him live at the time, you know, like 2003, 4, something like that. He was being promoted by Jim Fetzer and Kevin Barrett doing a
Jim
tour.
Jim Fetzer is the one that's done 50 years, so he doesn't know.
Right. Yeah, he was – Willie Rodriguez was doing a speaking tour, and he came to the UW-Madison, Wisconsin. And I went and saw him, had a front row seat. I actually recorded the thing on a little mini cassette recorder. I still have it somewhere. And but, yeah, he just lays out his whole story, and he says this and that. And, you know, if he's one of these guys that's put out there, you know, I saw him live in person, and I fucking believed his story at the time. I did.
You're not expecting to, you know, disagree with it. I don't think this was a mistake either. I think, obviously, the towers, what we see fall down are models and a bit of CGI. I don't expect anyone to believe that, and yet we did. So maybe it was just, I can't explain it. I really can't explain it. I have no idea. But some experiment, some kind of a experiment in futility. Some kind of philosopher built to work out there what it was.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about William Rodriguez, that his whole presentation seemed very polished. And if he was a real guy that went through this, I could see having a polished presentation, you know, for this thing. But it was just very, it was canned. It was all there. He had all the bullet points. But being that it was promoted by Jim Fetzer, it's like, hey, there's another terrorist, something fishy's going on. But at the time, there were no clear answers. It was just this one guy, you know. So
how did you feel when you were Kennedy didn't get killed?
Kennedy?
Yeah. Did it really affect you?
When I heard that he didn't get killed, like the Miles Mathis stuff.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm not saying you worked out. I'm just going to say, well, there's a lot of people who think they think they didn't die, you know, for the assassinations to take place, and you have to be there. Pretty much every step of the way to show people that it was for the, you know, the nation's good. So when you look into all the anomalies, and then you realise that the easiest explanation is the fact that he didn't die, which is probably where you are anyway, you know, media favourite.
No, I haven't spent very much time looking at Kennedy, honestly, because it's before my time. And so, you know, I don't know. I see it as a possibility.
Well, if you ever do look into it, it ends up being quite apparent. And like most of them, like most things are, you know, it's a trick in it that we've been shown first time around, and we've been told what the trick is.
Well, what the narrative that I see, if he was killed, it was because that he was speaking out against the CIA and he wanted to break up, and he was talking about, you know, international banking, the typical, conspiracy theorist line you hear from.
Yeah, well,
alternative media, so like, you know.
Well, if I had someone who was on the inside, who knew to go along with everything I'd say, what I'd do is I'd say, right, before you're going to be fair, start spouting about the international banking regime, a few other things, then when we kill you, it'll stop the other people piping up about it, you know.
Right. I don't think he was urgent, you know, opponent of the world system, like he was.
No, not at all. He just created, he perpetuated the narrative of democracy as well in his roundabout way, which it leads us into the nuclear arms race, Cold War,
and the moon,
space exploration, and the moon landings, which was only a 10-year period, but nevertheless. A lot done in Netherlands, in actual fact, a 9-year period.
He never lived. Can you imagine? He never lived to see the outcome.
And walk on the moon.
He never lived to see that. How tragic. It's just so tragic. And then his brother, they killed his brother. I mean, what a fucking travesty. It's unbelievable. But
yeah, Annie's over, brother. Oh, God, they got him back soon.
Teddy's still there. He's still alive, isn't it? Teddy Kennedy?
Yeah. I think Teddy's sort of only related by my name.
There was actually... Rosalind Kennedy, one of the sisters, obscure sisters, who had been diagnosed as a mental patient. She was actually incarcerated locally to me in Madison, Wisconsin, somewhere in Wisconsin. Yeah, so she's just locked up.
Yeah, you see, we think we have it bad, don't we? And yet we don't. We don't have it bad. It's all these people who are running the world. God, did someone look at...
Say again? I didn't hear you.
I'm just saying, did someone look at these people who are running the world? These, you know, these people who change things. They always have this turn of events that sort of stops them from doing any good in the world. It's we must be doomed.
Well, it's like with her, you know, Rosalind Kennedy, you know, maybe she wasn't usative. And she had to be set aside. Yeah, I don't know what happened to her. I don't even know if she's still alive, but, you know, yeah, she's out there. She was.
Well, we have the Queen over in England who supposedly, on the coronation of her, I think it was her father, come out and mingled with the local folk around the Buckingham Palace, which I don't believe for an instant. I don't believe it. They would have released any royal out there. Not for the reason that the royals make any decisions at all, and the reason that I don't think they'd actually give any power to the puppets yet in charge. Nevertheless, with the candidates, I think that was the last time the power was on display. I don't think it was on display anymore after.
Right. Well, they call it Camelot, like this Camelot thing.
Yeah.
The, you know, American royal family. Give me a fucking break. This is bullshit. Come on.
Yeah, it does seem like they were trying to invent a way of doing things. Probably. And they were trying to see if they could create a snowball that would overtake the storyline that was already in place from by the time it was already elected. So maybe that story came in just to see if anything would take charge and if they could do it another way. I don't believe any of this stuff's benevolent. No, it's like the end of World War II. And I think they were trying to incorporate the flat earth stuff then. The infinite plane invaders, whatever you want to call them, because that's the way they're going to do it. That's the way they're going to get this, alien assault force. So, you know, whatever they're going to throw on, it's going to be coming from somewhere that's tangible. Mm-hmm. And, I think we all realize that space is not really tangible anymore. And not only that, they couldn't create a spaceship to come actually right down and land because the eyes on the sky now, people would still know it came from like a wire. But, I think they were trying to incorporate that, infinite plane invader from probably at 48 onwards, a vast amount of space and you get the usual dicky bird. And that brings us onto my little fucking tangent there, which is, I'm not sure about Antarctica. You know, there was literally a story for all seasons how we end up on this thing, but it's not the case of some of them making sense. It's why you've got to put the gravitas behind the evidence. It's very hard to trust someone who's a mason.
Of who?
Who's a mason.
Who?
A mason. It's very hard to trust someone who's a mason.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that sort of leads you literally... at the first level of every kind of investigation going, because the masons always seem to be part of it all.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, there's this video out there. It's called JFK 2, like the Nazi Knights Templar connection to the JFK assassination. And I forget who this research comes from, but it's that whole thing about, you know, the Bush family and the Nazis, and Bush was the head of the CIA during the...
Oh, and Schiff, George Schiff, yeah.
Yeah, the mafia, like, you know, they're all in cahoots to kill JFK because of, you know, some shit that can never be verified, and it's all out there.
Yeah. It's crazy. True, and it's crazy. There's evidence behind all of it. If there wasn't, it wouldn't be, but it's always plausible. positive. And not only that, I mean, the fact that the Kings before World War One, you know, there's pictures of them all next to each other. And they're all the same. They're all cousins. You know, and you're just going, right, yeah, I understand that.
Right. Well, we have, over here, we have like, you know, grade school girl giving a presentation about how all the U.S. presidents are related.
I remember that.
The fucking news, dude.
It got on morning TV. I watched it when it was on. Now, why was that part of
it? Right. It was during the George W. Bush administration. I'd seen people online saying, you know, hey, George W. Bush is related to Charlemagne, you know, all these people from the fucking, you know, Roman conquest era, war with Islam. George W. Bush is related to these kings. And then this girl comes out with her spiel.
And we got that in Indiana Jones and Crusade. We actually got the Charlemagne who was introduced into the vernacular. You see, the weird thing is the stuff we hear when we're at voting age, we sort of hear the same rhetoric like 10 or 12 years before. So, you know, I mean, right, I can't explain, and I'm not going to attempt to, the language to, but obviously we're pre-programmed to hear something 10 years later on, and obviously then it'll have more of an impact on our psyche. I can't really go into any more details. I'm sure everyone knows it. You know, whether it's playing with sports cars when you're little and wanting a sports car when you get a bit older, or whether it's, you know, I can't explain it, but nevertheless, you do. And these things, they use on the largest scale and the most broad scale. There's no one if it's not witnessed and they just go, no, this is what people are into. No. That's not what people are into, it's what you're making them into. It's not like war games and missiles firing from helicopters, and people aren't into what, if you stop selling war toys, like, war would stop. I pretty much guarantee that. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, war would stop if you stop selling war toys. People wouldn't be like, oh, missiles. You get people walking up like, you know, and I'm not even saying there, take away guns. Well, keep guns. Make guns bigger. Have more at home. You know, I believe I'm well behind that. But the idea of war, that random people can go to war with each other, that's not tomorrow. You know, your country can pick you from nowhere to go to war with another country because of a policy. No, you know. Right, I'm going to get a beer, but I've got 15 minutes before I go back. Sorry, mate, one second. I'm going to grab a beer. Del, say something to James because he's braining.
Del Qua? Yeah, I'm going to step away for a minute if you have any thoughts.
Okay, we're in the live stream. It's 19 minutes past 12 o'clock. It's the 4th of June, London, 2017. We're in the live stream chat on Discord. Remember, if you've listened to Fakeologist before and you've never joined Discord, it's so simple. You've got to do so to the Fakeologist website on fakeologist.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the screen, click on Listen Live, and then download the instructions there for the Discord app. It sits in your browser there and you can listen to all you want. Okay, first things first, we've got some interesting pictures there from Del Qua, and then Del Qua's back. Del, you've put some pictures in here of a murder one. You've put some arrows on the Twin Towers. you're making a reference there to the Twin Towers.
I'm just having a laugh, man. Same time pointing it all out, man. It's there. They're bullshitting us back then as well. This is on the tail of the Yojo's
order one thing. Yes, exactly. This is a little recap. We hit on OJ. We've been talking about the basically movies being transferred to TV screen and anything in the real world being transferred to movie screen, and then the mixing around of it all. Now we're back with Del Quire, so I'm going to scroll on to the bottom now. Now we've got a picture of, is that Matt Boylan? You put a picture of Matt Boylan up, Del.
I'm not saying that it's Matt Boylan, but I'm telling you.
It looks like Matt Boylan. It really does. So this is
the guy with the bloody face, you mean? The guy with the bloody face? Is that?
This is a fake exclusive.
Live stream chat. Yeah, there's a video. firemen claiming they heard explosions. Okay. Yeah.
And I just put in acting the Powerland LOL because I remember, I couldn't remember rooting when you two were chatting away there. I muted and went off rooting for this and I found what I was looking for. And I'm not saying by any means this is Matt Powerland, but what I am saying is if you are familiar with any of Matt Powerland's videos over the years.
That's funny.
He's had the one with his.
I was going to ask you guys what you thought about him, but please continue, Del.
The telephone thing, if you haven't watched this video.
No, if you could play it, that'd be great. Can you play it and get the audio on?
Visual thing as well. Right, well, look, we're all in the room here. Can you not see this anyway? No.
I can see it. I can see it. I'll play it.
If someone plays it, it'll probably come through.
Yeah, I'll play it and you can sort of play it muted and then, you know, the listeners can at least listen to it, but at least you can see what I'm talking about.
Yes.
This is one that I'm actually going to do on a lock-in sometime.
Holy shit. Yeah, I see it.
Now, anyone that knows Powerland can just get this and watch the extra dust or hit and shaking the dust off. He's messing with the phone. He's banging the phone at one stage. He's got the bloody nose from one of his other dramatic ones where someone knocked him off his bicycle. Now he's on the phone talking to people.
Who had a phone like that in 2001?
Yeah, it was pretty. It's a nice Motorola gift.
Goddamn extra nice phone, yeah.
Dust proof. Look, your man hits him on the back.
So is that the flower that fell from the towers? Because remember they were filled with flour.
It's a flip phone. I retract my previous statement. It's a flip phone, but yeah, I don't.
Flip phone. Look at the blood, man. It hasn't oxidized once. It's just like cherry fucking sauce.
His head's a little bit wider, but you know, nevertheless,
Who is filming this and why? That's, I guess.
Exactly. And
they zoom in on a close up. Get a close up of this guy.
Same method acting. You've got the Powerland method acting. You see?
Yeah.
This is fucking wild.
The shaggy blonde hair and the bloody nose. Yeah, I see it. He doesn't look like Matthew Boylan.
No, he doesn't. It's just the acting. It's the same.
Right. It's the same kind of, spiel. Yeah.
Over exaggeration of each and every movement he makes. Look.
Yeah, never mind, let's not get this blood cleaned up. We're gonna get you on camera here. So
fresh white towel there to wipe his bloody nose on. Fresh
and his phone and the dust coming over. I don't know what you're at, but I'm looking at him hitting his phone.
No, I'm exactly on you there. Now he took his glove off.
Yeah, and he picked up a tissue before that, or a hanky, wiped his nose. Now he's messing around. Someone hands him a drink. He takes the customary swig and then spits it out like a boxer in a ring.
So this must be after there's nothing left to do, right? Like, he's done for the day. Like, your job's over. Everyone's dead. Go home, you know. And that's where this video is taking place.
We've got a guy with a tash now.
You don't even want to play
that. He's got a tash. Yeah, he's got a tash. Remember, he got trust people with a tash. We don't know what happened.
Yeah.
We had to get in there with people and just save lives. It's what we had to do.
Dust is around. The other guy standing around the white suit with a mask on his face, one of those sort of, dust masks.
But we've got cameras from every angle. There's cameras to the left. There's cameras.
Has he got his hand on the other guy's knee? Or is that his knee?
Now, here we go. Drink.
Whoa.
I'm watching Suspender Guy at 2:45. That's where I'm at. He's got suspenders.
He's doing the Matt Powerland. Matt Powerland is doing this guy. Well, then again, when were these filmed? This was on YouTube 8 months ago.
September 2001
was like 16 years ago. That's still
a buffet cat. That's what he said.
There's the drink. I see the drink. Nope. Don't film me. I'm drinking.
Oh, well, watch this. It goes back to him.
Yeah. Spit it out.
I'm a little bit ahead on the filming, but he's definitely doing the Matt Powerland routine. They probably went to the same fucking acting class. I tell you, whoever did the nose job, though, definitely didn't turn up to all his special effects classes.
That's just, yeah, I mean, despite everything I could say about this, it's like, why didn't you wipe the blood off your face? That's all, that's my main point. Why didn't you clean yourself up before you got on camera? What is, I don't know. It's like,
you'd feel the wetness and you'd be wiping.
He's like, fuck it. This is real shit. You know, I'm doing it. I don't care.
And he does the old spit away the water like a fucking boxer in the ring. He's pulling out pulling out all the stops. And I think that would be an interesting.
Go one more round.
I think that'd be an interesting one to do if I can dig up. And look, 24. Good old 24 helmet. Here's more people. Here comes back up. Look, brand new fucking weird jumpsuits with BFI stuck on them. Those gloves were impregnated with dust just when you slap someone on the back. And they kept going out of their way to keep slapping them on the back dust to fit.
Yeah. Make sure we get the dust. We need the dust, boys. Come on. We need to see the dust. So slap them on the back. Spit that drink.
I could imagine that, you know. Look at that. And take two. Yeah, extra dust there. Someone comes out with a bucket of fucking talcum powder.
BIF, Bureau Fire Investigation. Is that what that means?
BFI? I think the fire department in New York is different, isn't it, than anywhere else? But
it's a silent I. You drop the I and it's just bullshit.
Hi, Tom.
Bureau of Fraud Investigation, BFI. That's a NYC.gov. BFI Construction Corp.
Thomas.
Ah, that's better.
Evening, Derek. Derek, watching the silent movie here. We should be. It's a pity that we can't sort of present the video and people see it. You know.
Well, you can play it at the same time, which is not far off being perfect.
But he's back with the phone. Someone's given him another fucking flip phone and now press the button for him and everything.
Are they in New York? That doesn't look like New York. I think that's Chicago. How many kids?
Downstage in the CIA wood.
You know, I've been to the WTC. I've seen the area.
Yeah, same here.
I imagine this part where they're at actually looks like some place I've been to, actually. Because the towers are up there in the sort of slightly to the left corner when they just zoomed out at about 6:45. Yeah. Yeah, I think I've actually been on that street. Wow, holy shit.
They keep hitting your man on the back and more dust comes out. Like, how much dust can you have in a glove and a bloody coat each time? I don't know where you guys are at on this, but I'm at like 7 minutes, 48, yeah. 49
I'm
seconds.
I'm a minute behind you, but yeah, he's calling. Is he calling his family? Is he talking?
It goes into a loop. They're showing the same thing again because he's drinking the water again and spitting it out. But
laughing on the back, drink the water, call the family. Yeah.
You get what I mean. Anyone who's seen any of Powerland's videos, I'm not saying that that's Powerland, but he's doing the same method acting as Powerland.
Just say it's Powerland, that'll do. And even if it's not, it's still the same accent. Fuck it. No one cares.
He pulls down a zipper on his head and Matt Powerland pops out, maybe. But Jesus, that's fucking phony.
Well, anyway, but look, I'm going to be shifting that before I shift. This was
Hey, Danny. Hello, mate. Yeah, I'm spoken to
hey, you for
a couple of days. Yeah. How's things? Everything all right? You sorted the world out in here, I take it, tonight?
Well, it was an interesting kind of a journey, yeah. I'm going to definitely fucking take this thing and put it into some other context. The last thing here we were talking about with this video.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was pretty interesting call, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was wonderful. But we had to manage.
Yeah. I mean, oh, you're in the live stream. I didn't realise. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were in room 11.
Live, man.
That was earlier, wasn't it?
You're being recorded right now.
Oh my god.
This doesn't matter. You could be recorded anywhere in any time, you know.
It wouldn't be the first time, would it? Fucking hell.
Just depends who's listening, I guess.
Yes, but I didn't want to. Yeah, you're actually. This is an official. This is actually a call. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. I was just talking to Zal in the chat there. Just talking about various things.
Yeah, do a recap on there, man. You know, that's very interesting stuff. I just haven't had a chance to read through it because we've been obviously in here talking and do other stuff. So did you want to talk us through sort of the continuation of what you were talking about the last time?
Yeah, because, brain and on the landscape with my London thing, where I was saying you got the London Eye and...
Mm.
With its 32 pods.
The Golden Triangle?
Yeah, and the Golden Triangle. Well, there was that, wasn't it? Yes. And this idea of the third eye, this great secret of the Freemasons or whatever. The Eye of Ra, yeah, and the third eye alludes to the brain and the brain mapping. So this idea that perhaps the Egyptians had early ideas about brain mapping and started trying to speak to the third eye, which is a sort of... Mm-hmm. So we see this idea of the pineal gland. Really wasn't expected to talk, so I didn't have my head round to talk about this, but I'd like to have a bit
clear. I'm sorry for putting you on the spot, man. Sorry.
You're all right, mate. But yes, but I did post in the chat, didn't I? And I just started looking at the Vatican. And of course is the Pina courtyard or whatever.
It looks like a thistle, as well, doesn't it?
Well, it's pinya means pine, so a pine cone courtyard. So it's this pine cone again, which we're familiar with. We know it alludes to the pineal gland. That's where the name pineal comes from. So this idea of Catholic Church, CC,
see the Holy See.
Don't forget Jordan Maxwell, who is a pine.
Right. Yeah, Russell Pine.
Is he really? Well, yeah, there you go. So it's hardly a secret now. Oh, it's a secret, the free, this third eye. But actually, there it is in the fucking Vatican. Yeah, this big thing. And then this idea that, they make a sort of city or a place like a sort of as above, so below, as within, so without. You model it on a kind of brain. And then you've got in these amphitheatres or these things are like pineal glands or something, then feed these ideas back into the bloodstream into the body of people, sort of thing. The analogy is just there, isn't it, really? As if like kind of ruling by an idea of analogy, or an idea of the analogy of the human body, imprint it onto the landscape, the consciousness specifically with the brain, this important sort of brain part of the brain.
There's a connection too, I think, with the Muslim Kaaba stone. The black stone that they all revolve around in Mecca, right? And to the pineal gland, the brain, and also the idea of the cube and reality as being in 3D as a cube, sort of a, you know, I'm not doing a very good job explaining it right now, but...
Joking. These ideas, yes, go across, Kundalini or this idea, you said you find it in other places around the world, these ideas, consciousness and things.
Well, do you not think they've incorporated that just because it's part of the brain? Like we were saying earlier, the it's obviously the separation of mind and body once it's started examining the brain and how it literally was built in two parts. So if you started doing that in the Egyptian days, like people say, remember, the Egyptian days can be anything back from 300 years to, you know, probably about 1,000 years. You don't know. There was some sort of lifestyle going on over there. Maybe they were enlightened. You know, maybe these were the ones that, you know, that envisioned these pyramids being built around the world. Maybe that these were the precursors to the people that Jan Eric talks about, you know, the Phoenicians and, you know, them. It's hard to explain, but there was a level of understanding to do with the brain and how it was mapped. I think the way that all most paintings are modeled on things afterwards, that you can see it is a real big pointer to their religion or their enlightenment, should I say.
Well, and the pineal gland too represents spiritual insight, like the visions you can have outside of a normal state of consciousness. You know, the pineal gland is associated with DMT, dimethyltryptamine, and this.
It's also associated with fluoride, drinking fluoride.
Yes, exactly. Fluoride.
Calcification of the pineal gland. Do you think that's true?
You know, I don't know, but I see, you know, I think people could benefit from a more advanced spiritual sight. So there could be something to that.
Yeah.
Well, certainly we can see it in the Vatican. We know that's not, I mean, it goes back, but we can see this big pineal gland or pine cone, which we kind of pretty much know. We've seen it enough around to know that it alludes to this. Like you say, this root of part of our consciousness, right. This brain thing.
Yeah.
So it's there in the Vatican, you know, it's there. I've seen this referencing in London. This like on the map, you know, mm-hmm. snaking Thames and, you know, I've seen enough evidence to know that the London Eye, you know, with its 32 pods and 33 with the one that's, you know, probably 33 bones on the spine. Leading to the third eye there.
And Tom, the dome, you know, the dome, the famous dome?
The Millennium Dome.
The joint white tent.
That's the pineal gland.
That was only supposed to be, that was erected, and they said at the time, with the eye as well, the Ferris wheel eye, they were only supposed to be there for 9 months, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then they stayed.
But yeah, that's it. So it can be temporary. These old fashioned ways of sort of doing things, modeling the landscape on the brain or whatever. They really seem to do it, you know. And they got these things
as next exhibition center. And then they had hoaxes like the fucking, that major diamond robbery and all that.
Yeah, that was out of there, wasn't it? Into the Millennium Dome. Yeah.
That was all over the Millennium Dome, man.
There's
a lot of things that happened or a lot of stories attached to the Millennium Dome over the years. But it was originally only supposed to be there for 9 months or a year at least, you know.
I pick up the Metro, the free paper, and I open it up, and there's the Millennium Dome in this bright blue with all these neurons flying off into the sky sort of thing, as if I don't know what this advert's all for, but there it is right in the front of my Metro as I open it up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, does this work? Does this work? Does it get into our brain neurons or something? Into our consciousness? Yes, I suppose it does. Because it's there in the paper in two pages.
It really has to. Why would they do it if they didn't?
Yeah, well, I suppose we're being stupid, saying that I'm being stupid, questioning it even, because I'm opening a paper, I'm seeing it. It's going directly into my brain, isn't it?
Right.
So, no, but the message they're giving out is not always true. Some of you are exactly right.
Yeah.
It's not always true, is it?
There's a lot of people freaking out, saying, you're spending whatever it was at the time, millions, X millions amount, on basically a tent. And what the fuck's going on? And it just seems to be, now it's so familiar. And like you said, man, it's in your Metro. It's everywhere. People have seen it. It's iconic at this stage. And it's still there.
In
all these juicy sort of cat burglar stories and robberies of fucking diamonds. And you know what I mean? It's all, I'm sure it's been featured.
That was a setup. There was this robbery there, this famous robbery, if anyone didn't know about it, at the Millennium Dome. Yeah. And they got away in speedboats down the river, you know.
Yeah, it's the Sweeney. It was the Sweeney for the 21st century, basically.
I haven't heard of this.
It's
fucking Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah.
It was Thomas Crown Affair done in a fucking newsworthy fashion.
Millions of pounds worth of diamonds, wasn't it? Like, ridiculous. Good old-fashioned stuff.
Thomas Crown, Thomas Crown was Pierce Brosnan, who played James Bond, right back.
Steve McQueen, the first one.
It also reinforces the artificial fucking preciousness of diamonds, you know? So, it ticks all the boxes again. That's a cliche, I know, but it does, you know?
Yeah.
It does. It even ticks the Steve McQueen box, man.
By Ted Hughes at the time, the Millennium Dome was being made. He said it should be made into a brain. I wrote this in out of the Telegraph or something. He said it should be made into a brain.
That would be the real symbol of love.
You're joking.
No, straight up, man. I quoted it on my Heron's thread.
Oh, fucking hell, man. Another fucking brain. Look, I'm going to bed. Oh, this is fucking
Antarctica.
It's in your brain, but your brain Antarctica, you know, it looks like one as well, doesn't it?
You've no idea how much fucking, I'm getting slack left, right, and centre for that. I don't go on camera and people call me names, man. I don't need this. But nevertheless, it's not real. So you know, don't ever go there.
Well, you're hardly forcing it down people's throats. You're saying you're just suggesting it. And I don't think it's a bad suggestion. If you look at it on the map, it looks like another brain to me. It looks like that Vatican City as well. I don't know.
I think the artists that obviously are taking over the world. I think it's the artistocracy, whatever you want to call them.
That's a good term. I've heard you say that before, and I was like, did he mean to say aristocracy? But no, artistocracy, that's good. I like it.
I really can't see it any other way, no. I really can't. I think it is pretty much presentation nowadays.
Yeah.
And do you know what we're programmed? It's not even a case of saying, you know, we're super intelligent, because I put myself on a 3-degree, put you on probably first degree, heading to finding the gold. I'm a good number of years behind you, but to some people out there who are really, they just eat what they're given, you know, whether it's a butter or whatever. You just go, I'll definitely take it on board. But if you can use a bit of discernment, everyone could come up with fucking somewhat weird in their life where they go, hang on, I'm going to pull it. I mean, Tom, you're the ideal example. You're pulling people up on their sports results, football, connotations, musical references. They're not hidden, but you do need a keen eye. And I don't think you'll have a keen eye if you just eat what you're given, so to speak. It's weird. Yeah. It's the same with Del. Same with Del. Del spent a lifetime examining music, and he can tell uninstalled reads. Everyone's got their own fucking little skill. It's all about, pretty much that's all it was.
You have to.
I do love art, though. No, I'm just saying, I do love art. So, you know, when you look at art, I mean, the first film I went in, I think I was 3 hours old, I was in an art gallery, and I was literally taken around by the entire art gallery staff, because they all were told, because we used to frequent that. But the weird thing is it's all visual, or it's either, vocal, or it's something you read, but nevertheless it's all visual, or what you hear. And if you're open enough, you can hear it. You can see it. What's that? You don't need any intelligence anymore. Really. I'm so sorry. There you go. But I'm gonna leave, lads. I really need to get to bed. I've been drinking about 8 hours, so I need, I've got to be fired. So take care, and I'll speak to you all soon.
All right, man. Yep. Take care.
Thank you. Good night. Good night.
Good night, Dan.
See you. Oh man, we've been all over the place. We started with JFK and OJ Simpson, and now we're at the pineal gland and the Vatican.
And the brain, primitive brain mapping from the Egyptians and brain mapping on the landscape.
Because they were, because the Egyptians were heavily with embalming, preserving a human body into these sarcophagi. But then what you're saying about, mapping onto the landscape, like we have this whole thing with Washington DC where it's all mapped out, all these monuments are connected.
Yes. And
the ley line thing, it's, there's definitely a thing there, and I think it's all subliminal. It just, people don't even realize it. And even when you read a book about the layout of DC, like, David Ovison's, The Sacred Architecture of Washington, D.C., I think it's called, or something like that. And it's like, when you get into this stuff, you see that there is this trend of mapping these principles onto the landscape in terms of the layout of cities and how it goes into how energy is transferred. If you want to go there, it's like, it's very in-depth. It's deep.
Lots of owls as well, man, around in all the cities.
Owls, owls, yeah, owls, yeah. I've seen like these pine cones, you know, I see them outside certain important buildings. I can't remember exactly which ones I've seen them at, but they have pine cones outside the front.
Yeah, okay.
And the beehive too. Like there's a mesa in the capital city of Wisconsin.
Everyone behave in the beehive, man. That's what.
Yeah. The Masonic capital, the Masonic temple in the capital of Wisconsin has a beehive on the upper, like up right below the roof. They have a line of, I guess, sigils and symbols, and one of them is a beehive that's carved there. And the Mormons in Utah use the beehive heavily.
Yeah, what is that bee? I mean, I can very much understand the analogy of bees for sort of power, sort of wanting, saying, look, be good bees around
here's the
queen.
Tom, I don't know if you know this, Tom, but if you drive through the state of Utah, where the capital of America, there are highway signs, like the signs that tell you what the speed limit is, where you are, this and that. They have a little symbol of a beehive. That's their state symbol.
Okay.
It's everywhere. Yeah. It's everywhere.
Team players, bees, aren't they? But they serve the masters, don't they?
Exactly. They serve the queen.
Yes, they serve a queen. And then when they're interesting bees, aren't they? Because when the queen gets old, they get a few ready in like, they start warming up a few. And then when the old queen dies, the first one to wake up automatically goes around and kills the other ones while they're still in their pods.
But do you know something as well about the whole, you know, the configuration of the beehive and everything? Is that everybody is looked after. There's nobody in fucking poverty. They all get the honey, you know?
Right. Everyone's equal.
They're all working towards survival for the next generation kind of thing, but they're all looked after. There's no bee exploited. They all have their particular thing. Now, maybe unless, you know, the queen, you know, they kill off the queen or whatever. But a human intervention comes in there and, you know, beekeepers actually get all those queens.
They all turn into drones, don't they? Oh, well, they can turn, but they're not very strong.
The drones are expendable. The drones collect the food and they impregnate the queen, but they're totally expendable. That's how that system works.
The queen has to actually go out of the hive to get to crossbreed with someone from another hive, doesn't she? So otherwise, it's not strong genes or whatever. So I was looking at it. They're interesting animals, aren't they, bees?
Do you know something? I'm not going to bore anybody, but I'll just tell you. I've been watching some of this, you know, beekeeping, you know, people keeping bees. It's an interesting thing, you know, and we end up doing it myself, you know, just have one hive or whatever. This guy, like he has a handful of bees. The bees are just, they know him, basically.
Right.
But they don't fucking sting them or any crap like that, you know? And obviously, you know, but he's just there. It's so weird, you know? He's not wearing the beekeeper suit or anything. And I doubt if it's some sort of a special effect thing. He's literally just there talking about him.
Beekeepers regularly get stung. Like, that's part of their job, basically.
Well, you get stung so many times, it's kind of like an irritant, you know?
Yeah, they don't sting that much.
But the queen thing, Tom, I know I'm a bit long-winded, but I'll shut up now after this. But the video I was looking at, he was showing how to know if a queen, he was introducing queens. This is what you were saying about the queen flying up and all that. He was introducing a queen into a sort of an established thing where there was no queen. And you could tell. You know, he says you can tell the way they were just acting and they were all around the little box he had the queen in, you know, it was like a little kind of a.
They were crowding right around. Yeah, I like what we got here.
Nuts. They were trying to get at it, to kill the queen. And he says, okay, so he sort of goes and gets another one. You know what I mean? And then eventually they get one that they resonate with or whatever, and they're not trying to kill it. And then
yeah, like that one. Yeah, where does that come from?
She's hot. She's got fucking breast implants.
Are we talking fucking, you know, EGIBs here?
I'll tell you what, if you show it to Unreal, definitely.
I know. All, you know, fair play to Unreal and kudos to Unreal for doing, you know. But really, back to the B. The thing is.
Yeah, well done for disgracing himself with that thread. Yeah. Sorry.
You know, that the bees are happy with, but then he still has to go back and check it, like, you know, a couple of hours later, you know, and it's still there. He still has to check it a week later. And pretty much after that, then, you know, it's established they've accepted that queen, you know? So, you know, I could imagine, yeah, you know, like in the wild. Yeah, I could imagine if there's people like that and they don't have the queen. They'll just fuck it. Or some queen comes in from a different colony or whatever.
One of them and can turn.
If they don't like it, they'll just fucking attack it, you know? So,
funny.
It's weird, you know?
Well, here's bees know everything about where they are. Like, they know the location of food sources and pollen. They know it all, and they communicate to each other. So yeah, bees are pretty fascinating, really. There's even some, you know, a lot of esoteric.
I just want to say something else about the bees, you know, is that this whole thing of the bees are all being killed and blah, blah, blah. That's like Alex Jones territory.
Yep.
Every fucking year, and I'm not, sorry for cursing, but I'm not exaggerating. This year has been even greater. I let the raspberries just keep going to see what would happen, you know? And apart from a few snips here and there, just to stop it completely taking over the garden, it was just like literally there'd bees everywhere when they were flowering, when all the raspberries were flowering. Fucking bees everywhere. And now I have footage of that. I actually took some footage with my phone, which I must actually put in because I've got loads of stuff. And that's the other thing, Tom. I've managed to film me making bloody peanut butter as well. I've got it all in my phone. I just have to put it in the computer and actually put it up on YouTube. But the bees, they're fucking everywhere. And the other thing is, if you look into sort of the general sort of like commerce, what's going on out there, there is a glut of honey in the world. Now, how do you explain that?
Maybe they're just trying to drive the price of honey up, man. Saying the bees are gone, like maybe it's just all about driving the price of honey up.
Yeah, the new world order.
They keep precious bees. That Manchester op in the Ariana Grande thing in Manchester uninstalled, but it was full of these bees. Yeah, and they're now getting bee tattoos in Manchester.
Really? For that? They're bees? I thought it was butterflies. No,
butterflies is more 70, isn't it? MK Ultra and stick a butterfly on your guitar and it looks cool.
It was the bunny. It was the bunny. Like they had the bunny ears, right? Wasn't that part of it? Bees and the bunnies.
When I was a young fella. Yeah, you learned about the birds and the bees and, you know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You still did.
Even the bunnies now, the bees, the tutus as well. Two being the basic form of gematria.
Right. You're saying people are getting bee tattoos because of this?
Yeah, because, well, it's the symbol. Actually, it turns out it's the symbol of Manchester. You said it was Utah State.
Oh, yeah, I've seen, yeah, the bee, right.
Given to them in the Industrial Revolution, you know, as a good sort of serving under Queen Victoria. You know, it's a good analogy then as it is now, I suppose. Hmm. But, yeah.
Like the good working class town, like, yes, you're all very good working for the empire.
Yeah, the bee tattoo. Hive of activity. Yeah.
A hive of activity of all the drones. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Bees will be.
That put me onto Matt Busby. You see, I thought, no, they couldn't have. Right. And there's this really famous manager who's got now a statue in Manchester uninstalled. And his name was Matt Busby.
That's great. That's awesome.
And he had the Busby Bay. Really famous.
And what did his brother do, Tom?
He was
the first English, you know, an Irish team in the World Cup. had a manager who was English.
Yeah. But he was, yeah, he was in on the fix, wasn't he?
He was. And what was his fucking famous trip? His famous trip was after he became like commercialized and in commercials and ads. He was a fisherman, a fly fisherman.
What a pair of agents the Charlton brothers were from Ushington.
Yeah.
I mean, what about Bobby? Could he survive the Munich air fake?
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, came out with a song with Bono and fucking Larry Mullen, the drummer out of U2, called Put 'Em Under Pressure. If you remember back, that was the Irish team tune for the 1990 Italian.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, that was a fantastic PR campaign though, wasn't it? It was tremendous. He was a hero across all Ireland. It was a good propaganda, wasn't it? Through the sports.
Wasn't it irony? An Englishman managing an Irish team, and he could, in his spare time, arse around in the wilds of Kerry, like standing in the fucking middle of a river, fly fishing. And he had a song called Put 'Em Under Pressure. With
you know, that's fucking funny because, you know, the song by Ice Baby, he based that song on the bass line from a song called Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie.
yeah, that was the other one.
Doon, 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 you know, that thing.
Sure, the Irish one, though, it's sort of the U2, but like Larry, the drummer, is kind of accredited with this one. But it was that other old song, you know, that down, 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 put 'em under pressure. Do you remember that one?
I never.
Yeah.
Jack Charlton going, well, put 'em under pressure. That was his like catchphrase. And then you had the guitar. It was kind of like reminiscent of like Tin Lizzy and all that. It was the Irish rock and roll flavor, you know? And, isn't it fucking strange, Tom, how all, like they milked the whole Busby thing for what it was, you know, the Manchester, thing for what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Or for what they created it to be, I should say. But, they've definitely, and it's continued on then, you know, continued on into, you know, mapping out some, you know, strange part of the culture creation in Ireland, you know, which, you know, has gotten even weirder and weirder right up to this day.
Well, it's Northern Ireland now, but, you've got that connection with Manchester with George Best as well. And his birthday was on the day of Ariana Grande.
Really?
Another football tie-in for Manchester. On George Best's birthday, that was.
Which George was Best, he did for fucking kidney or liver transplants. And
George Best. George, King George, right? George Best.
He was in ads for all sorts of stuff. He was an all-rounder, that guy, George Best, in the media term. You know what I mean? He, apart from the football end of it, it was like a sort of a soap opera.
He was a great player, no doubt, fantastic footballer, but, you know, there must have been some kind of, well, it's good,
the hint is in the name, man, the hint is in the name. Think about it.
GB, Best, yeah, perfect, yeah.
George, man, come on, George would be one of the top, it has to be in the top five, right, of just in the representation of Rule Britannia and everything else that's, you know, associated. You know, George is the king. Everyone associates King George. King George can be a cigar as well, and it can also be G-O.
King George.
First three letters. And I don't want to go there, but really, because it's just too... And just in time for...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Come. Rather urgent, doesn't it? .com. Okay, Ab.
We are sponsored by Monsanto and the Rand Corporation. Brought to you by viewers like you.
Thank you.
That's what it's like when you watch public broadcasting in the States. They're like, yeah, we're sponsored by Boeing Corporation and ADM, Archer Daniels Midland, hyper, you know, global octopus of agribusiness.
The New World Order is messing with your seeds. The GMO, they've got them at Frankenstein seeds.
Frankenvaultseeds.com.
We've got some lovely heirloom seeds, and all these heirloom seeds are very heirloomish. And you can
fend when the apocalypse comes, you're going to want to eat your grandma's rhubarb.
Jesus, I'm a granddad and I'm growing rhubarb. Oh man, yeah, that is funny. That is like Patriot Radio at its best on shortwave years ago. You got like all the sort of the major fear mongering things are represented, and then you've got the Bible Belt. That's all represented.
Yeah. Well, I love gardening. You know, gardening is awesome. I encourage everyone to do it. But it's like the way they promote this shit is ridiculous. Yeah, sorry, Dell, I interrupted you.
No, you didn't. It's grand, but there was a weird noise there. I don't know what it was.
I was clearing up some dust today. There were a load of silt from a flood, and it was just, you know, one of those things where you keep sweeping and it just keep getting more dust.
On Noah's Ark? What are you talking about?
I just had a flood down my friend's place. So I was sweeping it up. I got so much dust everywhere. I've been getting out of my nose all
night. That's the thing. Yeah, where I live, floods are very common. And the silt, you know, that silt, it gets in everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So where are you, Uninstall?
Upper Midwest, North America. So the Great Lakes region.
Oh, right. So you're in big country up there. Yeah, near sort of, I know Canada a bit. I mean, I went across, but.
Okay. Yeah. So south of Lake Superior, west of Lake Michigan is a little place called Wisconsin. And we are inundated with fresh water. We have, you know, a huge portion of fresh water coming. It just flows out of the hills. We have springs everywhere. It's beautiful.
Fantastic, man. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Sounds it. And it's a big country. I've got relatives in Vancouver. It's not the same as where you are, but still,
Vancouver is the mountainous part of Canada. Yeah, so we don't have mountains here, but we have hills. And allegedly, you know, where I live wasn't flattened out by glaciers, so a large portion of Wisconsin is flat, more or less. But where I'm at, you know, these hills are rumored to be 500 million years old.
Cool.
In the 1640s.
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah.
I was talking to Zal in the chat and we were talking about, you know, what do you think? You know, there's infinity and then there's the things going forever and then there's nothing. They were the two limits of the two things that sort of drive you crazy to think about. The two, they defy logic. How long has it been here? When did it start? And where is there an end? Is space infinite or what's going on? But that is just philosophical.
Well, the funny part about that is like I can, you know, I've worked on jobs where we're digging on a ridgetop, like a hill out here. And a hill is probably, you know, 1,000 feet above sea level at best where I live. So we're digging and from the subsoil, we find shells like seashells, like creatures that would normally exist in water on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
We find these things, so that's where I'm at.
Oh, well, that's good. That's direct evidence of, like, you know, it was underwater.
Right.
And that sort of tallies with the official story a bit, does it? Or
Yeah. I mean, up here we have all these lakes, and they've been...
I just want to shout out to Zal, by the way, seeing that you mentioned him. He's a good old skin, and he's been around for a long time. So shout out to Zal.
He's been around for a couple of years.
What I call the realistic CGI guy, because he works in that field and he knows the limitations of it and all that. And he's a good dude. And
he's got a good brain, isn't he? Yeah, he's enthusiastic and willing to talk and interested in what he seems to want to learn. And he's bright, but I mean, he's quite young as well, isn't he? I don't think he's right.
A young fella, but like the point is, and even that lad, he's got a lot of fucking stuff going on.
I mean, God, he's way ahead of me on loads of stuff. I'm sure this kid.
I just wanted to say that a shout out to him, you know, because
sorry, Zell.
Shout out to Zell. Has he ever been on audio chat? Have we heard Zell?
We have heard Zell a long time ago, though. That's the thing, and he was in the audio. Sometime, hopefully. And, you know, he's the one that's always busy with his, you know, his stream and stuff and whatever. But anyway, there was something else I wanted to say there, but I can't remember that.
Ancient fossils, ancient seas,
It's pretty much, you were talking about your topography in Wisconsin and that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, right, I'm sort of on, like, I'd sort of be, you know, maybe 20 miles, say, from Dublin itself. So if you can imagine on, you know, the right-hand side of the map of Ireland.
Right.
And kind of down a little bit more. But to my right, then, is Wicklow and the Wicklow Mountains. But, like, it's literally just, you know, few miles, you know, to the, you know, forget about the lines on the map, you know, but it's the same thing. They're mountains, right? The Wicklow Mountains, and they extend then the further north you go, it's the Dublin Mountains, and, you know, but they're all the same mountain ranges. And, here then in Kildare, where I am, it's fairly flat. I mean, really flat along, you know, hence they've got lots of, you know, horse racing tracks and things, and the Curragh of Kildare is very famous for its horse breeding and all that, because they've got the horse racing facilities because everything is flat. And but this is what we were always told in school, man. This is the point where I'm coming to, like what you were saying. It's glaciers and it just came down, you know, and formed over because, you know, the Wicklow Mountains are like metamorphic rocks, which are like even stronger than, you know, the lava. But then metamorphic is like, you know, heat and pressure. You've got your diamonds and all that. That's all metamorphic rock. And your granite and all that's like semi, you know, metamorphic. And then we've got all the limestone and sandstone, which, you know, was all just scraped down and flattened with this massive ice thing that's, you know, the glacier from the ice age, you know. So, but when you look at it on the face value of it all, it's, you know, it's all looks the same, you know, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
In England. It's the explanation that they give us is fucking dodgy, you know?
Well, about where I live, it's like they say that the glaciers, literally where I'm at, we were on the border of the glaciers. So they didn't flatten it out, but yet we have like deposits of, you know, stones everywhere that they tie back to. Well, this was the glacial drift and all this stuff. So, yeah.
Man, like, hence we've got the Wicklow Mountains, right? That they didn't, but the bit of Kildare here that was flattened out, but yet, you know, the rest of the mountains are still there. They give us these bullshit stories, man. You know.
But then some of these other mountains, like the Rockies, are supposed to be very young, right? So they were thrust up by plate tectonics and that type of action. So it's weird, you know. I don't know what to think, but where I live, it's like this landscape is pretty damn ancient. Like it's been logged over. Obviously, they cut a lot of the trees up here to build Chicago and some of the major cities in the Midwest. But you know, they couldn't cut down the hills, so all the shit's been here. We have weathered rocks, you know, sticking out from these hill faces and cliffs, and it's pretty majestic.
It's the same with the Wicklow Mountains and the Dublin Mountains. They basically were popped up with the lava and everything, you know, and then you know, like you said, the tectonic plates as well, but it was, you know, all cooled down and everything. And then we had the ice age came over and they were smoothed and kind of contoured with the ice. And then you have the flat Kildare plains. And then there's other mountains then, you know, as you keep going down, you know, like Kerry, you know, you go over the, you know, there's no, it, all they do is explain it. It's the ice age, you know, I'm trying to look for the word or
well, think. It's like humans, you know, they say like humans, you know, obviously humans survived, but like, we don't know how they did it. They just happened to cling on and they fucking weathered this cold and everything until the landscape changed back.
Probably hunting woolly mammoths. And
yeah, they were going across the land bridge to Russia and, you know, the Great Mountain, hunting woolly mammoths to survive, you know, clubbing baby seals for the blubber and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Whack the woman over the head and drag her into the cave and then she's your wife. This is the shit they were telling us, remember?
Yeah.
How many times has it been reproduced in all the different, you know, programs? Rochelle Welch in a loincloth with dinosaurs, you know.
What's that one movie? It's like 100 million years BC or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It was
yeah,
that's 100 million years numbers. It was 100 million years under the sea. Or no, 100 million years BC. Then we had 20,000 leagues under the sea. we had, what was it, a million miles from... so many different fucking movies, and it was all involving either under... Here's one, right? I don't know if you looked at it, but I came across it last week there. Since, you know, back in the 80s when it was released, and I went, fucking hell. It was like a sort of a little TV miniseries, and it was about a ship, somewhat like the Titanic, right? It was called the Goliath, and it was 1939. It was hit by torpedoes, you know, a U-boat, a wolf pack, as they were called in the movie, and the ship sinks. But a big air bubble is inside the ship, so it turns into like an advertisement for the fucking New World Order, the United Nations, ecological, and everything was in it, right? Plus, you had fucking Christopher Lee, Eddie Albert, I can't think of the other fellow's name. I'll think of it. And it turned into this weird sci-fi sort of infomercial for what they've been doing, you know? Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of it? Well, I posted it on my YouTube channel, and I posted it on the View from the Bog, and I even put it on just an audio version of it as well, just to listen to it. For the likes of Typo, who was saying that, you know, you didn't have the bandwidth and that. And, man, do you know how the original, the whole thing from begin to end, right? Like, I put a little bit at the beginning just to, you know, show what, you know, my, you know, upload. And, it was actually 3 hours and 11 minutes long, right? and 54 seconds. So, yeah.
3:11:09.
Yeah, but everything is in this. I mean, hydroponics, free energy, existing system. You had voting in it. No, really, man, this thing is something that, you know, I didn't just put it up for the hell of it. There is so much in it. It's just unreal, right? And it is unreal, isn't it? And sorry, unreal. I don't mean you, unreal. It's just an expression in the world.
Unreal, man.
Yeah. Unreal, I like it. A lot of what Unreal says. I always got on well with Unreal. And then
They're all trannies, man. Everything wow. I just said, so Del Qua, all those people are fucking trannies, dude. Like, get over it.
I'm not a tranny.
Every female, virtually every supermodel is transgender. Did you know that?
Man, I have seen, oh man, I don't want to even, oh Jesus. I know what you're talking about, man.
And not.
Everywhere.
Yes. I do have to draw stuff at a certain point because, you know, there's certain cases you can look at and say, yeah, that's kind of fishy, but, you know, I've never seen what's between these people's legs. And I, frankly, I don't care to think about it that much. So that's my take on EGI, honestly.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. And just generally on the science of it, if a load of it was going on, I would want to know. But I mean, you know, that thread of Unreal's, I don't mean of his thread, but talks about, Jungle Surfer, you know, being some kind of authority on this new sort of thing about EGI.
Jungle Surfer.
I mean, who's a fan of Jungle Surfer here? Does anyone think he's, 100% legit.
Russian jungle vids? Is that, you mean Russian jungle vids? Oh, sorry.
So I suppose. Both of them are dodgy, aren't they? Both of them seem like...
put some really cool stuff like about 2 years ago, and then he goes all weird, and I've unsubscribed. I haven't even watched him.
You know, yeah, I mean, yeah, jungle.
Honestly, I think some of these YouTube people talking about CGI are pissed, like Hans Trans Investigations. That's just my personal opinion. Some of these people are just fucking taking the process and running
man,
with it.
I looked into him when Ab started posting some of his stuff. I said, right, I'll have a look at it. And what do I see? This guy appears and he puts on a fucking silly mask on his face and he starts doing all this back and forth with a guy that he had on the time before that. That was the first time I listened to him, and it was this guy, he was talking to Hans, right? This other guy, Mr. M, was talking to Hans.
Mm-hmm.
And because apparently they had to prove that they weren't the same guy. Okay.
You mean Mr. E? Mr. E?
Mr. E, sorry. Yes, Mr. Yeah. E and the guy called Hans.
Okay.
And, you know, so listen to that. And I actually posted that on the blog. And, yeah, I said that's the ground. So anyway, I kept an eye on it then, and the next minute, the same like in the Flat Earth, where you have this scripted drama where they fall out, and then the guy appears wearing a fucking mask, just covering his eyes with glitter masks, and he starts, and I said, here we go, why am I even looking at
who
this?
Who was now? Wearing the mask, was it Hans or Mr. E, which one?
Mr. E.
Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, Bill. It was just weird.
It's comedians.
Fuck this. You know, I've enough of this stuff.
What, and then about I know, that one, what was that one that came on? He was ever he was like, oh, yeah, no, he's one. He's
John Humanity, I
think.
I'm mixing up my characters. It's John Humanity I'm talking about there. The Mr. E guy is another guy, isn't he?
I think Ab has interviewed Mr. E.
Yes, he has. I like Mr. E when he said, yeah, the Williams brothers. The Williams brothers.
John Humanity guy who said, I am a John Humanity exposed.
And then he got really arsey with Ab, apparently. He wouldn't talk to him anymore.
So. Well, John Humanity thinks everyone's a shill. That's kind of his gig right now, as far as I can tell.
Guy who is wearing...
He'll go on podcasts. He'll go on different audio. And then
yeah, everyone, and including
then a week
him.
Later, he'll be like, yeah, that person's a fucking shill, you know.
He's absolutely right. Everyone is a shill, including him. Yeah,
but then
as far as I can tell, in YouTube world. Yeah. Or anyone who's trying to make some fucking website have a go of it or something. Do you know what I mean? Where's the integrity? There's no fucking money in integrity, is there? Not in this fucking game.
No.
when all this kicked off, you had Hans coming back, making a video going, oh, fucking John Humanity, we've got him now with his mask on. I'm sort of looking at him doing all the trans investigation. But also he goes, he's an actor from, so, and then of course he shows another American television series, which I never saw because I don't watch the crap. And he goes, look, he looks like him. And then he has a picture of another American actor in some unknown American thing. And he goes, there they are, match. So did you see all that? For me,
no.
Yeah, this is the same bullshit that's going on in the flat earth thing. So I just unsubbed, switch off and not but I'm just sort of recounting my little journey down that road. So yeah, it was John Humanity, not the other guy, Mr. E. It was the John Humanity and the hands thing, isn't it? So I earlier on I said Mr. E, but I did
a terrible impersonation of him. But John Humanity was the guy with a sort of, he's more sort of.
He sounds gay. Let's just say it. He sounds gay and he's exposing transgenders. That's it.
James, you bet me to it. I was going to say, that's why he sounds okay. I don't know. Or is that just the way Americans sound in this?
Well, that's, I mean, some of American males do, whether or not sexual orientation, but it's a definite trend. Like, American males can sound that way regardless of their sexual orientation, I think. But I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
I honestly, to wear the mask that he had on, you'd want to be a bit more macho to pull it off if you were being sarcastic or ironic, because, do you know what I mean? It was like the little mask went along.
Oh, the fucking jungle surfer. They're all fucking doing it now, aren't they?
I'm sorry.
She's a fucking, she's packing a cock, mate. Of course she fucking is. They all are. Sorry.
But I don't mean that in any way, because I could be just construed as being as idiotic looking, you know, like I'm out there on. But you know what I mean? I wouldn't sort of put one of those little masks on and start doing
that. If I ever came on camera, you wouldn't. I wouldn't be wearing a mask. That's all I'm saying.
Fuck's sake.
It's like ridiculous. What's going on?
It's like an episode of fucking Hot Potatoes in the Flat Earth Days about a year ago. Some guy appears in...
Well, this fucking, this EPI, this transgender thing, I mean, it's definitely a trend, like Flat Earth, like, you know, it's been taking over the alt media, in a sense, on YouTube, more or less, as far as I can tell. And so it's just another, you know, trend that we're watching, I think.
It's like Wayne Gale has taken over. He's become, yeah. He survived.
He's being held hostage by the serial killers, but he's still trying to play it up for his men.
Under the tree, but he survived. Wayne Gale ends up being, fecking, what's his name? The guy who's in charge, Rupert Murdoch. He became Rupert Murdoch's shine boy. And
I'm just not going to go like to where every female that I've ever been attracted to, every female celebrity that I've ever thought was hot, like I'm not going to go to the point where they're all males, MTFs or whatever.
Nah, it's just nonsense. Of course they're not.
I've not got one that I've and this is like sort of an appeal to Unreal, and I don't want to put him on the spot or anything, right? But Barbara Eden, right? Jeannie, right? I'm that old, right? I was born in 64. I dream of Jeannie. And don't get me wrong, I know that was another site, like all the programs were all skewed in that way. But that one in particular was promoting NASA, space travel. We had, you know, J.R. Ewing used to be fucking Nelson, the fucking astronaut, and he found Jeannie in a bottle on an island, and Barbara Eden was the blonde Jeannie.
Right.
Is Barbara Eden a man or a woman?
Let me Google her picture real quick.
I don't even want to look at her as that. Which is what I'm thinking about now.
I mean, how do we? But I mean, in all likelihood, but you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's some of these celebrity women have features that are peculiar to me. Like, I don't see them in women I know of in my daily life.
Yeah, but like, Unreal says things like widow's peak. And that's a fucking male and female thing. It's a hairline thing, but it can be seen in women and men.
I've got a cow's lick. Have you ever heard of a cow's lick, or is that another?
Yeah.
It's the same as a fucking cow's lick. Look, it's just
a widow's
female to male. Oh, whatever. I don't fucking know.
I've got a cow's lick, and I refer myself as a male. You know, I don't know how the fuck I could, you know, otherwise be. I wouldn't be able to explain my children or my grandchildren, you know. And I'm not elite, so I haven't got the money to put into all these, you know, complicated things in what they do, allegedly, for this whole thing that we're talking about, this EGI.
Well, I don't even know what really we are talking about. Are we talking about complete sex changes? Are we talking about people that have been... You know,
well, that's just it, Tom. Yeah, that's
exactly.
It.
What on earth are we talking about?
Right. It's like, is it surgery? Is it genetic? Is it done in the womb? Are we talking about cloning centers? And, you know, what is this?
Well, yeah.
Do you want to hear my little synopsis of it? A very short one. And
you can hear my short one as well.
Well, we can say, not a one word or whatever. But judging by the evidence or the photograph, which we also have to acknowledge that they come from the same people who brought us 9/11, so they can fucking give us whatever they want, and then we have to analyze them. So you see what my first
Well, sure, you know, I mean,
about all this trans and where do we see it all? Where does all this shit take place initially and apart from people talking about it then, but where does it take place? On the TV, man. The ever-decreasing magazines, because nobody's fucking buying them anymore. They'll give them away on the metro. They've got metros everywhere, man. There's a metro up in Dublin, for fuck's sake, and there's a metro over in Cambridge. Metro's fucking... I bet you there's some same generic thing over where you are. Man, in Wisconsin, there's probably some free newspaper to make sure that you see the latest transgender.
Well, I still think I like my newspaper. I love my newspaper. I still think they've got legs. Newspapers. I don't think they're on the way out yet. Things do change. I mean, my daughter's not grown up with them really, you know, at all.
Good, man.
Yeah, but she'll get it digitally, you know, she'll find, it'll come through to her through her handheld device and her television, I suppose, and her school. Yeah, I don't know.
I tell you, Tom, I might have said this before, for a long time, but I'm far from a prude, right? But when the page 3 things even came out, and I'm not fucking, you know, a Mary Whitehouse type either, felt very, it was kind of uncomfortable. This stuff was kind of like out there slapped on people's kitchen tables in a family situation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, you may maybe say, I'm not being prudish, Ryan, but what I'm saying is it was kind of like the thin edge of the wedge for what we're looking at now and what we're talking about and what we're seeing.
It was kind of a guaranteed way to get it into certain working class families' homes. The man would buy it.
Mainly the guy with the fucking, you know, like with the builder's arse. The and then the page 3.
Guaranteed to get it round docky break, it's going to be fucking there if you've got a pair of tits in it.
it's like the Brady Bunch, you know, Greg Brady, is that a woman? Florence Henderson, a man.
Oh, God.
God. A whole new concept of the idea.
George Carlin. I like that one. George Carlin. Yeah,
George Carlin is a woman. Come the fuck on. Like, what? Who? Where do you even come up with that?
I mean, if he was, then who gives a shit anyway? Do you know what I mean? It was fucking funny and quite clever. Seemed acted and behaved and looked completely like a man, you know.
Right. Yeah, it was just the act. It was so convincing. It's all.
You didn't con me with it. If he was a woman, he didn't con me with that. Do you know what I mean? It didn't change my life.
Right. No, it's like you see George Carlin. Obviously, he's a man and he's talking all this shit. And you just take him at his word. You don't think about what his gender is and it doesn't matter.
No. On that level at all. So what a load of fucking bollocks, or none, or not bollocks, as the case may be, depending whether you're MTF or FTM. Oh, sorry.
I heard you pontificating about it. The agenda marches on, and we're like in a slow motion photograph. We're just watching it all. And I think it was going on before we were born, and you know, I dare say it'll probably be continuing on.
You might be right there, Dale. Yeah.
Well, I think it's been demonstrated that, you know, elites have been playing with these gender tropes, and, you know, men dressing up as women on stage and vice versa. It's been going on for a long time. So, but when we get into the biological, like physical, genetic level of these things, well, maybe not genetic, but just physical, biological, talking about surgeries and this and that, you know, it's different than somebody just a man dressing up as a woman on stage, you know.
And powdered wigs, I know Chris in Oklahoma probably has a copyright. I know he just wouldn't talk about it, but it's the same thing, isn't it? All these people pounced around in wigs and even puffed up trousers, even when you think of
is it conditioning? Sorry.
Yeah, but I'm just even thinking.
It's conditioning us more to have all this plastic surgery and transform from a male to a female. If that's possible, then it opens people up to possibly being changeable in the future with technology.
Right. So, well, it's like you find a candidate, you know, a man producer or whatever. You find a man who's willing to as a woman, vice versa. And you say, okay, this person's got potential. We can mine them for certain gags, right?
Yeah.
But does that mean that, you know, they're not the gender that they're born as? I don't know.
No, it's like, I don't know exactly. You can see is with the what I've seen in my lifetime, it's changed in my living memory with the attitude to homosexuality, which in the 1980s or 70s, really, in England, it was still underground and they were still stigmatized to an extent, quite a lot. And was still driven underground, and then it became more legitimate and more people via the media, you know, through people like Boy George and stuff, and gradually, and really, the left thought it was sane and should be, and it seemed quite right to me too, really, to be honest. But we see an extension going through. What am I talking about? You know, I see that changing to a positive effect. I suppose that's what I'm saying, and. Did anyone have a problem with that? Because I think some people do, you know, Tim, this Mr. Aberato would say that homosexuality is a, that statement.
You cut out for a second. We couldn't hear what you said.
I think Tim thinks that homosexuality is bad behavior.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of this whole thing is like, are we imposing judgments on these EGI and, this whole trans thing. And that's part of why the PSYOP is effective is that it plays to people's judgments, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Do you guys not think that the way everything has been sort of laid out, even like, you know, we won't go into a history lesson, go back, but even if you say, like, we'll take from 9/11 onwards, everything was laid out, you know, had your Alex Jones, you had Jeff Rentz, you had Project Camelot, we had UFOs, we had fucking aliens, the Bible Belt was catered to.
Loose change, Zeitgeist.
Right. The everything, the movies, the Matrix is like the meme for all of that. Mm-hmm. And yet that's still fucking Hollywood. And then what happens to the people who were told what happened to the people who make the movie, The Matrix? They become the exact thing what we're talking about now, the transgender thing. And at the same time, the agenda's going on to the point where even here in Ireland, you know, I'm only talking about the so-called politicians in this part of the world. And we've got the world's first openly gay leader in Ireland called Leo Varadkar, who's not even Irish, like second generation somewhere else. But the thing is, how it's all sort of converging anyway, guys, isn't it?
Yeah. It's all building. It's all feeding on itself. Yeah.
Changing people. Changing the way we are, controlling us, molding us, and things. I keep thinking it's, you know, post-industrial age. We're moving into a new age, a digital age, where people aren't needed to, you know, macho men aren't needed to operate the machinery. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean? So they're getting this, you know, this generic world population, you know, a civilized world population, all sort of speaking the same language and running around. You don't need to be so macho anymore. And I don't know. Is that part of it?
How did it get to this? Well, you know.
Well, gay people are quite, you know, nicer and they're more manageable. You know what I mean? But,
they just want to please everyone, right?
It seems to be a little bit, yeah.
But fuck everyone if they don't accept me.
I don't fucking know what I'm talking about.
I don't either. I'm just talking pure shit right now.
I probably am too. I mean,
well, listen, they're not going to plan to take over the world unless there's no more fashion shows.
There is nothing wrong with gay people. There's nothing wrong with gay people, but it's like, why are they being put into this position?
If it's a biological thing, then yeah, you can't blame somebody for going that way. But it's undetermined to me whether or not that is the truth, you know.
Why are they disproportionately being put into positions of power and in media and in politics, perhaps, at this moment in time?
That's at Anderson Cooper. I mean, Anderson Cooper is from the Vanderbilt family. He's probably a metrosexual at least. But yeah, I don't know.
Politics, mental, attitudes, propagandizing. Not bad.
This whole thing about gender identity pushed, like, it's a psyop for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on that.
And then we're all sort of dragged into the minutiae of it. So there's someone who's been affected by the past.
Have you been affected by transvestigations?
Welcome to Transvestigations.
Are you a man or a woman?
Vanna White from Wheel of Fortune. Remember her? Yeah. Remember him? Is she a man? Is he a him?
In
this week's episode of Transvestigation.
Lifestyles of the Trans and Famous with, what's his name?
If children start to have surgery, then you've got to say, well, this is outrageous things.
Right. You do have under 20-year-old kids getting hormones for whatever gender they think they are. And that's a serious fucking issue. It's not, that's real, man.
Who watch fucking Housewives at Home, Judge Judy and dance classes.
Where's the judge gender? We need a show.
You can find your gender morphine drugs within all this fucking makeup that they're all, encouraged to put on.
And, we think Johnny is gender non-specific. We've given him the option, you know.
You shouldn't have had Johnny in the first place, you.
I think it is, in a way, you do. You should, it should be like, sort of like, have you? Oh, God.
Oh, man. It's fucking terrible. It is terrible. Look, I wouldn't say anything, anyone, no matter how, when you talk, you can work away and have the babies. But the thing is, it's the fucking, the agenda. There's always the good reason, cause, you know, like, one out of fucking billions, wants to be a Jane instead of a Johnny. But then there's always the real reason. We'll just, you know, fuck up everything and we'll put everyone in power and just we'll just screw up the genders. How about that? Is that not
people are going to change that quickly, but at the extreme of it, it looks like it's a grotesque, doesn't it? We're not all going to become that, but it to make people change in a little way, they perhaps have to do it in an extreme way. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
Go mad on it. And so that with the changing people's attitudes and just changing people just a little bit, you know, there's still going to be plenty of macho men being aggressive. There's going to be still plenty of people, normal heterosexual.
Well, that's part of it.
It's
about controlling people on a broad scale. You know what I mean? So
if you push an exaggerated vision of masculinity, right, you're going to have a reaction to that.
Yeah.
And likewise, you know, vice versa. If you push an exaggerated vision of femininity, there's going to be a reaction to that.
Right. Yeah. And it's all taking place within their fucking defined grounds, you know, their media outlets and, then by extension, people who actually latch onto it, like, you know, the people and the governments and the police and all that bullshit.
Men and women are equal. Do you know what I mean? And does it make us, is that possibly part of it?
Well, if they weren't, you know, if we weren't equal, there'd be no fucking babies to begin with. It's like, come on.
Yeah, but we're eventually, in a patriarchy.
You know, eventually a man and woman have to have sex to make a baby, so what the fuck are we even talking about?
Exactly. But what are they? Have you got sort of like, if you go on to Facebook or something, you've got like 94 different genders or 56 or something?
77. There's 77 genders. Yeah.
It's a good one. Pick two numbers, right?
You feel horny. You want to fuck someone.
Let's play the mating game and go from, forget about the man and the woman at the very bottom. I'm sure, I hope at least they're, you know, at least bottom one and two or two and one or whatever, but one and one makes three in that case. But everyone else up to 77, right? Let's pick random one. I'll pick a 62 and a 73, right? Put them two together and make another person. Can they do it? You know what I mean? So get your 77 other fucking genders. That's just people that are just a bit skewered and affected by the program that's already out there and whatever else. And this sense of entitlement, you know? You know, you're either a man or a fucking woman. Everything else you can dress up and play, but don't be trying to tell us that it's a fucking, an extra, you know, a new, an advancement, you know, an evolution.
Right, yeah, like homosexuality or whatever, evolutionary.
I've thought in the way of that, you know.
That's out there too, yeah.
Yeah, it's not an evolutionary advancement.
No, it's just
you could be a fucking woman. Just because you've got a set of balls and a penis hanging there. No. Think about it. Are you in touch with your feminine side? Well, go with it. You'll get fucking loads of girlfriends for sure.
Be a fag cat.
girls. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, people have been around for long enough that there is a natural sort of nature to things, isn't there? I mean,
So we're living in an artificially created world where artificially created entities can be the positions of power and the someone to be looked upon, whilst is the who's paying for all that? It's just the real people who are doing shit, and this is all projected into the, you know, the nonsense known as the psyop.
Mass hypnosis.
Okay, so look at someone like Megyn Kelly. You know who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, formerly from Fox News, now an employee of NBC, the National Broadcasting Network. And she recently did an hour-long interview with Alex Jones.
Alex Jones is in the blue corner.
Right, so, you know, Megyn Kelly is one of these people who was like, oh, this right-wing, you know, hot babe who's on Fox News and she's all right wing and just fucking crazy. And now she's on NBC, the ostensibly left wing network, talking to Alex Jones for an hour. But, you know, Megyn Kelly, she cut her hair. She's kind of rocking this little short haircut thing, you know, doing the sexy.
What's her widow peakage?
So if she's a man, you know, like all rules are out the window, you know. Fucking no, man. That's crazy.
What's her widow peak? Does she have a widow peak or a couch?
I think she has a peak. She definitely has a prominent forehead because she's on TV. So her face, you know, fills the screen and she's slim enough to not look fat on camera. But, it's a...
Adam's apple going on.
You know, I have to look. Google some images.
Wait, stop it, Dale. You see, you're doing it now. You're doing it now. This is what we're saying. There is no need for this trans
investigation. We're talking about trans investigation.
Do not trans investigation
mode. I'm sorry, man. I'm not being facetious, really.
Your point that isn't it amazing that the dynamics of it, that this right wing sort of hawk station goes over to then talking to Alex Jones. I mean, look at him now. Look at the state of it.
And they didn't do the Alex Jones interview on Fox television. They did it on NBC, which is not Fox. It's the left wing network, obviously.
But who is that aimed at? Let's consider any of us who've already figured out that Alex Jones is like a psyop, right? Remember the fiasco with him and the English dude with Morgan?
Here's Morgan, yeah.
Here's Morgan. And then the other sort of sidebar psyop with Piers Morgan on the run from Britain. So he goes to America and has a fucking show. Then he has the thing with Alex Jones, and Alex Jones goes into full crazy man. Just to put people off, you know?
Ranting, man.
And now we're talking about him.
That was for the British. That was for the British audience, so they could see the crazy American right-winger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And people are still fucking looking at, you know, he's like you said, with the Megyn thing, the Fox News fucking trip.
Yeah.
There, you know, it's
Megyn Kelly. Her husband was a novelist named Douglas Brunt. I haven't heard of that before. I have to look into what he's published.
No, man, but just the name itself is interesting.
Douglas Brunt, yeah, the brunt of the
tip of the spear, folks. We're talking about the globalist New World Order. It's all coming down in the next couple of years.
They told us about the Bronte sisters before. They probably just dropped the E and made it a Brunt.
Yeah, bound to have. Yeah, yeah, no, she's a real, she's one of those media. We've got a couple in England, just sort of people that are just mainstays.
What Catty did next, or was it really, you know, what's a man's name beginning with K? Wasn't that the Bronte sisters? What Catty did next and... what Catty did, or what Katie did.
And what Catty then did.
Yeah, I'm having a dodo moment.
Stand up, Catty.
I know, only joking, you know, but at the same time, the Bronte, yeah. Bront, you know, but anyway.
Bronte, yeah, Bronte, the Bronte family. Carolyn, was it a Carolyn Bronte? I forget. Yeah.
Emily.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, was there another one?
Anne Bronte. They wrote all those books.
The Bronte sisters.
Yes.
Anne and Emily, right. In Thornton, Yorkshire.
Yeah, I've been up there. I think when I was young, very young.
In the Dales.
Yorkshire. Yeah, it's Dale. It's in Yorkshire there, near Kendal.
They all look very dour and pissed off in their artistic painting.
If you were a young lad in the 1800s and they put you in a dress and said you have to pretend to be a girl. That was back in the old days.
That would explain it. Yeah, that would explain the pissed off expression.
I know it sounds ridiculous, but you know what I mean? I thought it, so, you know, we might as well fucking say it. I might as well say it. I thought it. And I'm not trying to be a psyop or anything.
Okay, Ezekiel and Andrew, you're going to wear these dresses and you're going to fucking characters. Like,
what the fuck? Poor children. There you go. That's the extent. You have to wear a dress and look. They don't look very happy, do they?
I'm just looking at the Wikipedia image, and they look fucking pissed. That's all I can say.
Look at that.
I always got a bit dour, yeah. Those Yorkshire landscapes, you know. Gets chilly up there. Gets a bit cold and bleak in the winter. But hey, it's beautiful country. And it's hilly. Oh,
so the real title of that, what Katie did next, was what, like, Tommy did next. No, I don't know. It's late at night. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not trying to derail this. I think it's fucking...
Not at all. I think we should have a trans investigation on someone else.
Trans investigate the Bronte family.
Of course.
What I thought we were doing there was actually investigating the trans investigation in itself, because it is part of all the other things that have popped up. So we mustn't lose sight of that. If, you know, I know.
Where did the Bavarian Illuminati go? How come they just dropped off the scene? You know, the Bavarian Illuminati.
They were big back then,
all in Greenland, man. They're all in Greenland.
Antarctica. I thought they went to Antarctica.
No, that's one of those red herrings, you know. The fucking coyote gets a box from Acme. There's like this a cave, a sort of a tunnel entrance, but it really is just a board, and it's beside a cliff.
Right.
That's what we're looking at there in that. Well, it's what I'm seeing anyway. You know, by all means, go and make your own opinion, right?
Man, there was a movie. I saw a movie, and I can't remember the title, but these guys were like chasing some rogue aircraft, and they went through a hologram in the mountains into, it was the fountain, actually, the fountainhead, Ayn Rand. Yeah. And so even in that, you have like holographic mountains hiding a secret land.
That's got to be possible. Yeah. Mountains, and it'd be a good way, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You could pull it off.
In the late
they've got that kind of technology. I mean, that's not even, you know, it's possible technology, you know, right now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. See what... what's going on in there? You know, what kind of, what is actually the fucking map? You know, exactly. I wonder.
Well, we know for certain that what the powers that be are telling us, right? About various aspects of the map that they put in front of us, which is generally always a square flat thing and you can plot, or you can have the circular one where you can, you know, use time zones and things. But, you know.
What's hidden? Yep.
Well, when they start trying to tell us it's on a ball and they start showing us, like, start telling us that they're in a fucking space station planer, that shit is completely bullshit dodgy.
Is this a stupid thing to ask? Well, sorry, so sorry, Delta, if you had a point you were finishing, but
I'm looking up Nelson.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on fakeologist.com.
I'll shut up in a second, but it's just a one simple question. Is there such thing as a real globe, a model of exactly what the Earth is? There should be, shouldn't there?
Define real.
Where is that globe? Because obviously we know the globe that we're given is wrong, because the map's kind of that Greenland is massive or something. You know what I mean? The proportionally exactly right globe or oblate spheroid, so to speak. Where is the model? Somewhere in the world.
The problem is, Tom, is that all these globe models are projected into a 2D framework.
Never seen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't have a definitive answer.
I mean, is someone just, no one's been bothered to do it. A model of the
Earth. Moon globes. You can buy a fucking moon globe if you want to.
But it's bullshit, isn't it? Well, the globe isn't right. It's not right.
How do we know it's on the dark side of the moon? If I'm going to buy a moon globe, you know, ostensibly the dark side is going to be represented on it. How do we know it's there if we've never seen it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's nonsense.
But I guess we have, because some of our spacecraft have gone around the dark side in a slingshot or what the fuck ever, but.
Yeah. They've had a flyby around the old dark side and, they've shown it. They've filmed it, mate. They filmed it. A mate of mine went out. Well, someone I know, his mate knew someone that worked for NASA.
Oh, really? Oh, no shit.
No, but I'm just suddenly going into just speaking as if I'm one of those, people, normal people who would argue the case.
Right. Yeah, my friends are reptilian at Bohemian Grove too, so. Sorry.
Yeah, mate. I mean, this stuff is wild, isn't it? No, that's right. No, exactly. And then it turned into a man.
I was going to say to you.
Back to a woman.
In the good old days in Ireland as well, right? Everyone is here is about U2, as you know. There was another band called The Fountainhead.
Mm.
And they were kind of like, They were grand, you know, but they obviously didn't get anywhere, you know, who knows, heard of the Fountainhead. But at the same time, I think the Fountainhead were grand as well.
I never heard of it.
Do you mind if I do a little Rollo thing and just play maybe 2 minutes of it? And I'll stop. You can talk or just say, you know.
Try it. Yeah. We'll see.
For my own little, like, you know, curiosity as well, because.
Actually, it's a mango pickle. With some cheese, it's very good.
Yeah. Is that too loud? It's also live.
It's a little faint. Try to crank it up if you can.
All right, I'll turn it up then, Grant.
I passed by one day. Why does it happen?
Then what happens is there's a good compressor on these mics, but it cuts out.
Never knew why it had to be.
Sorry, Tom, are you saying something there?
It cuts it out and it's not coming across its best, I don't think.
Yeah,
really.
It cuts out a little bit.
People can go back and look at the video. I left it there in the live stream chat anyway.
Yeah, and they were a band that was contemporary to U2, but they never made it big like U2 did.
Man, there's so many of them. And then there was other bands like Scottish bands. They kind of, you know, got so far up the so-called ladder. You know, I'm talking about Simple Minds or whatever. I loved all them bands as well, man. They were like sort of the new wave from the punk and then the...
Kind of like the Pogues, Sean McGowan. And
he was there as well. The Pogues were there. You know, they're all there, man.
I like the Pogues. I saw them live a couple of times. Great.
IOPS attached to them as well because, as you know, they went on into, you know, the media big time, you know, with the Christmas in New York was like, you know what I mean? You're up that
New York,
the ladder. Yeah.
The boys from the NYPD choir were singing Galway Bay.
The Pogues,
ringing out for Christmas Gay Day, by the way, everybody.
Sorry, who's gay? Shane McGowan.
Shane McGowan is actually Shauna McGowan. She's a, I don't know if you knew that.
How didn't we see that one?
The band The Pogues used to be called Pogue Mahone, which is Kiss My Arse. And due to alleged fucking, you know, political correct bullshit, they just changed it to The Pogues, which is like, you know.
Same. They were a great band, but
Yeah, they're fucking brilliant, you know. Like, that's what I always said, man. They get the cream of the talent, and then they, you know, they probably say, look, you do what you like as long as you incorporate X, Y, and Z concept into whatever song you're doing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is, because all the artists that I liked growing up, I looked into them, you know, more recently. They all have certain arrangements with their record company where they're just allowed to do what they want to do, right? They have total creative control with the artwork, the music, everything. They present a completed package to the record company, essentially. And they're just, you know, a lot of these guys like Trent Reznor, Marilyn Manson, they're building off the foundation laid by Jim Morrison and the Doors and Jimi Hendrix. They're all fucking related to the same military-industrial complex, parents, families, all tied in. It's ridiculous.
You were saying the bands that you liked growing up just present their pieces of art.
That's what they say. If you look at the...
That's what it says. You know,
we're these super creative people and we want to get our vision out there to the people. And we found this record label that just let us do whatever we want. We said, you know, we'll create the artwork. We'll create everything. We'll present it as a completed package. And there you go. That's Trent Reznor. That's Nine Inch Nails. That's Marilyn Manson. That's, you know, these type of alt rock, you know, people. And, it's interesting because they all reference people like Jim Morrison and the Doors, you know, as influences. Like that's who inspired them to do what they do.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was inspired by Jim Morrison and I tried to make it be a success in rock music, you know.
I was inspired by Jim Morrison too. Like I hung out with my team listening to Doors vinyl and playing PlayStation games. It's like that's what we did.
Atari. Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I think they're a good band, actually, yeah.
They were. They were very, you know, absolutely talented.
And the message is perhaps...
Let's not forget that Jim Morrison's father was admiral in the U.S. Navy and commanded the fleet that was present in the Gulf of Tonkin for that incident that started the Vietnam War.
Yeah, I mean, that appears to be completely, you know, convenient, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Icon of this summer of love out of the LA connection anyway through the Elektra records was the son. I mean, you've got to think with that guy an agent. You know, they said, Jim, you can be successful, do what you like. You know, but here's a little, you know, little word in your ear. The admiral's son,
mm-hmm.
Old school. But would have Ray Manzarek, John Densmore, and Robbie Krieger known that? Well, they wouldn't have needed to, you know.
No, it's like, here's all these fucking great drugs, you know, pure LSD. Just take a shitload of this, write whatever you want, and you're golden. You're golden. We got you, man.
Yeah. What a blessed dog, Jimbo. And fuck it, hell, he rode that tiger, yeah. And I don't know. Do you think he faked his death in Paris? Maybe not, because what I look at Ray Manzarek talking about it, and you know, I don't know. It's honestly, I think Jim Morrison did seem like a pretty, I don't know. I don't know.
He might have, you know, I think some of these people are smart enough to try to get out. Like they try to find their exit plan. And in many cases, this involves a death. So, you know, he might be out there still, you know, if he's, you know, somebody on the scene or whatever, like Alex Jones is Bill Hicks and this type of shit. It's
no, that's bullshit. Now that is definitely bullshit. Now, did Jimbo fake his death? Well, there's a little bit of mystery around his death, but I listened to Ray Manzarek talk about it and I thought he seems credible. You know, I don't know where I'm at with that at the moment, but you know, I don't want to dismiss it for sure, but yeah, I mean, without doubt, what a sort of big figure he was, with his father, Vietnam War, and then one of the great icons of the hippie movement.
Yeah,
and his son of the fucking the military son of such a
there's a photograph of Jim Morrison with his father on the bow of a Navy destroyer. Yeah. Like they're fucking there in the military.
Wasn't a secret, was it? Right. It's brilliant military promotion, isn't it, really, in a way?
Absolutely. And that's how they divided the Vietnam, anti-Vietnam War movement, is by taking regular people and introducing this hippie drug culture and just, you know, turning their life into a spiral of degeneracy, more or less. I'm sorry, you know, I've enjoyed psychedelic, you know, altering my consciousness, but this whole thing is a program.
Yeah. Well, yeah, baby. I mean, it's how you learn and deal with anything you go through in life, isn't it? Yeah. But, we can see that it's, the Lizard King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was never even a context. Like back then, nobody had a context to put the Lizard King into. But now with David, we can hear something like the Lizard King and go, what the fuck is that?
Oh, I mean, interesting, you know, it's, interesting stuff. I mean, the Rolling Stones, I wonder about the Stones. Was Jagger an agent? You know, I don't know, how does it work?
Well, Jagger, I mean, you mean Melissa Jagger? Michelle Jagger?
They're all women, apparently. Who said that? Yeah, come on.
I'm just taking the piss, man.
I know. It's, yeah, Melissa Jagger. Yeah, I know.
But that's another one of those bands that everyone references influence. Like you listen to any alt rock person given an interview, they're going to say the Rolling shit. You know, that's where they were at the time. So
yeah, massive. I suppose you, like Del was talking about U2. We talk about these big bands, these world influential.
You see how they evolve it all and coordinate it all, though. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I put in three examples of Irish bands from that time, the late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
The Fountainhead.
There's one called Dave Murphy. Are you serious? Dave Murphy? Wait, what? Cactus World News. Oh, okay.
Cactus World News?
It professionally takes the piss.
Murphy that everyone knows from YouTube and drinking weed and all that.
Is that a wee drink? I'm having a wee drink.
And to me, musically, it just, you know, line those three up. But at the same time, U2 became like a product. And it's, you know, the whole monster of the marketing machine. And that's what we're seeing there, you know. Well, not what we're seeing there. What we're seeing is sort of the, you know, the pre innocence of all these bands, and then you see who got the jumped into the what we see today, man. You know, which is an awful lot bigger than when we talk about, say, the Beatles. The likes of what's going on today is just massive compared to what was going on then. And you two would, as you know, fucking everyone has their opinion, but they're still like the symbol of that, of the rock stadium gig people, you know, with some really good albums to back it up, you know, songs and things, because at the end of the day, if these people aren't good at what they do, you know, no matter what the machinations in the background, and people don't like the songs, they're not going to fucking buy them, are they? Or are we literally looking at, especially, you know, I'm going to go on a weird one here.
I think that it is interesting, though. I ask these questions, Dale, because you think, well, you know, how did they manage to make that so good? Because it sounded so great and iconic, you know. But it, looking back, it seems so obviously planned, you know.
It really is, isn't it? Yeah.
They do that.
It was an evolution of recording techniques, really, to bring the sound to the people. And you know,
have the most and you do it. They do, like you say, they have talented people, and only the good stuff does work anyway. And again, talent comes to the top, and I suppose you've got other people competing to get there. And it's only in retrospect that it looks like, you know, so clever.
Yeah, it was like, who's behind the talent? Who's making the sound? You know, you have Phil, what's his name? Phil Spector with the Wall of Sound and
these,
you know, recording techniques where everything's just maximized and panned to the left and right, full stereo, everything just to get you fully engaged.
What I thought was very interesting as well, an early U2 thing. And I have the vinyl from back then, a single, right? 11 o'clock TikTok. That's the one I put in there, the live version of it in Red Rocks. But when they made the single itself, you know, before all that, and guess who produced that? Now, Tom, I'd say you think this would be an interesting one. A guy called Martin Hannett, right?
Okay.
And he was straight over from the BBC, and he was fucking very involved in the production of a Doctor Who sound, you know, like he was on the sound thing, producing the sound. All of a sudden he fucking produces, and I remember reading it at the time in
producing U2. That's very interesting. That's from what Uninstall just said, that's a great little shout. Perfectly, isn't it? You know, back then for U2, and this guy came over.
I've never heard his name.
But his connection with, you know, with Doctor Who and BBC, and then suddenly you think, oh, that is a good little connection. Mm. You know, perfect possible example.
I love about these chats is because we bring stuff out of obscurity, really.
Yeah. And
it fucking sense then in the picture of what these feckers are painting for us. Anyway.
It's amazing what seems to be able to be done with the right, you know, dedication and the application. Someone like Andy Murray, going on to being like the world champion, world number one in tennis, coming from Dunblane. I mean, you look back and you think, well, how did they
manage? Dunblane with the school massacre, right?
Yeah, that's where they had the school that morning. Yeah. Yeah, they tied him into it. Anyway, perhaps they tied him into it in retrospect when they saw he was a good young tennis player that could make it, you know, with the right, you know, backing. But he's done, he's been a very successful project, hasn't he? Tennis project for Britain's promo. But yeah, Scotland as well, that helps. Tying us together in a certain sort of way with these very simple sporting figures from Scotland that we feel British that with him.
So Tom, why do you think Great Britain's sporting prowess was kept under wraps for 30 years?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, not really though, because they won the World Cup in 66. What 30 years are you thinking of?
From 66 to, it's probably 40 years to 2006.
Well, longer. I mean, you think about World Cup football specifically, perhaps.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about it in general.
Frank the Salt guy has joined us. Welcome.
Yeah.
You're fucking, you're a typical fucking Aussie giving me fucking slating me, aren't you?
Well, it just was funny that you think that the UK was kept as an absolute also ran in international sport for four decades, and now all of a sudden it's back.
It though? Are you worried about that?
Worried about it. I just think it's all scheduled. You know, I think all.
Yeah. Well, I'm worried about this. The Lions might win against the New Zealand. That might be scheduled, I reckon. British promo. Like, you might be right. They might be back, and that would be a good bet. 7-2. It's a backable price.
lads. If I was a betting man, right? Listen, I'm interrupting for a good reason.
Yeah. Go on.
Frank. Was like the last we heard from Frank. This is another one of these long audio chats, but Frank was here earlier on. He went off to meet Sunbeam Discord to have breakfast, and now he's back. So I'm glad you're back.
What the hell? What are your new marching orders, Frank? Tell us what's going on.
So it turns out that he's a real guy.
Yeah.
No way. Are you kidding?
Shock number one.
you measured his widow's peak and all that shit.
he seems fair dinkum, you know.
That's a knife.
Fair dinkum, we haven't heard that since the soap opera days. That's like, you know.
Good old boy. Well, look at this. We're really knitting together now. The authorities are really going to be listening to this saying, God, he's had fucking breakfast with him in a cafe.
How dare they? We've got to put a stop to this.
I accused him of being a Jesuit spy, but he says he's Orthodox.
Operation Sunbeam. It's just a little hobby I have.
But I'll tell you what came out of the conversation for me. You know, we've been talking about the 1,000 years of history being removed.
Yeah.
I've kind of had this discussion with Dave Eager, but the thing that came out for me, because he's really into this, Sunbeam is really into the Bible like me, but he's more into the New Testament, I'm more into the Old Testament. But what occurred to me was the 1,000 years of peace after the crucifixion of the Lamb ends in 2033.
2033.
Okay, yeah, these
are... So 6 and 2 is 8. Yeah, I can't come up with any gematria on that. Yeah, 33, yeah.
Let's just call it 33 two times.
Nothing's going to go on that year. You know it. Something big might well happen that year, 2033. It's got to, isn't it?
It's a Dave Eager trip, man. Come on, we have to be realistic here.
I think
Dave doesn't agree with this idea, by the way, Del.
Yeah, well, that's good, because you know you can't just pluck the numbers out and just put them down there, you know, as you know.
All I'm doing is saying that, you know, if the 1,000 years has been knocked off, that's where it comes to, doesn't it?
Well, then we're looking at like 1649-ish clumsiness, because they didn't, you know, they just left a load of things.
But if 1,000 years have been knocked off, then 1649 is 649, right?
Yeah.
So.
That's right.
It's all pushed up. Everything's more recent.
Yeah.
No, I mean, years are definitely used to reference numbers, you know, something big could well happen in 2033. Like it did in 2001, I suppose.
But where was 2012? Where was, you know, September 23rd, 2014? Like, all these predictions, they're all bullshit, so.
Yeah.
My prediction is real.
of course.
Good breakfast.
But honestly, lads, if this kind of carry-on is allowed to continue, right? Joking here, but it is funny. It's funny, peculiar, and funny, haha. But we could have, in 100 years' time, the fucking dome is still there in London, and the Ferris wheel, all seeing eye, And the fucking things are like the Colosseum. They'll fill it with concrete and just go, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s, they built this thing and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And who the hell, they'll have the likes of us or our ancestors going around complaining and sending out shit. But, you know, the juggernaut keeps going on. So, you know.
Look at the erosion of the Ferris wheel. Like, look at the watermarks.
Yeah.
It's like, how, you know, how is this different from the Sphinx?
That's what I'm saying. There's bullet holes there. Can you see the bullet holes on the third eye as it was decalcified because there was some sort of a terrorist operation? And, you know, that I could see all that going on, you know. You don't have to be, you know, well, it's just ridiculous, isn't it, really, when you think about it? But I can't help but think about it, and I'll say what I think, you know. And this is the kind of stuff, you know, we have a potential, you know, Sphinx 1979 Nokia.
I was completely clueless to what you're talking about. It's a Sphinx or a Ferris wheel. I was lost.
Did you see the fucking Powerland acting class earlier on? How to knock dust out of your Nokia all ding, ding 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 ding. Yeah, oh, it all God. Links up, man.
We're talking about him with Dallas, Agent Powerland.
Math Powerland. I used to work for NASA. I was in charge making the globe images for everybody. So listen to me. I'm Math Powerland, and I'm a comedian from Canada.
Yeah, when he first came on, he said, yeah, I'm trying a new thing. I'm going to be a comedian, but I'm not funny.
Yeah, you look at his stand-up shows, it's like, this is not funny. Come on, I listen to stand-up comedians. This shit is not funny. It's conspiracy candy.
Yeah.
We had this agent called Charlie Veach who came in England for a little while, and he was quite successful for a while, but he tried to come on with comedy. And
Ogre Copper.
Wasn't funny. That was the trouble.
Yeah. Right.
You go to Russell Brand.
Doing the love thing on the police.
Agents don't always, you know, catch on and become massive. We can see, you know.
It just so happens that I used to work for NASA. Okay. It just so happens I used to work for NASA. I'm a comedian and I'm trying to tell you guys the truth. So, you know, come to my one night stand up show. I'm doing an open mic in, you know, fucking bumfuck Ontario, and this is
it's quite a project. It was not even set it up quite nice. Yeah, they set it all up there. That was the angle. Well,
and if you want
precursor for the flat Earth, which sort of finally got, because he came out probably 2013, didn't he? 2012 with that original video.
Yeah, remember posting it at Mammy's and on the bog.
Yeah,
if you want an update of what he's doing now?
The flat Earth really came in with Mark Sargent after Ab launched it on Fakeologists.
Yeah.
So we must be a hub of disinfo, mustn't we? Here, we must be.
No, I could actually write a book and sell it behind paywall, but I'm not. Someday I'm just going to make my memoirs and just give it to everybody for free.
Good on you, Dale. You obviously must have a good pension.
The internet. And I won't insult anybody either, you know. People, when I went along, you know, the journey of the little things that were laid out for me to find. But I think I always conducted myself with, apart from telling, you know, Zap to shut the fuck up, but that became a catchphrase. And everything after that is like, Ellen.
Well, I'd like to write a book for my family. You know what I mean? You could write an autobiographical book for your family and tell them everything you wanted to tell them.
Immediate people that love you, you yeah, know, your family. That. And then everyone else can just fucking get it as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what actually is love, Del?
It's, oh man, it's many a thing, isn't it? It's a song. Sing a song.
But for me, love is, it's just a term to describe something more than liking something. You love it. It's extreme, liking something to an extreme extent.
What particular strand of love would you be referring to, Frank?
Well, I just think love is just one of those words that is abused in the extreme.
It's completely abused. And do you know what they did? Because I remember this as a young lad, and I remember questioning it at the time. They told me, like, that the people living up in Alaska, the Eskimos, that's what we were always told, they had like 64 words or 65 words for snow.
Oh, don't tell me that's not true.
The Inuit, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to tell you it's not true, but what I'm trying to tell you is that many fucking words for, you know, like, describe snow. There's 65 different types. It's like, you ask me about love, and it is like the way it's just, that's one word that's been thrown around. Back to you two again. Love, love, love. He sings about love all the time. In fact, in some of the lyrics, he says, one of them was, you sing about love, but you don't really show it, you know? Mm. And that's going back years. Mm. And that's just like,
you love someone.
Is he called Bono? Is he called Bono to indicate his state of sexual arousal or not?
No, it's about, well, that's probably the fucking hidden meaning, but literally the mainstream thing, and there are still evidences around here. There's hearing aid. This is funny, man, but it's true, right? There are a couple of hearing aid shops, right? One was in Dublin, and there's even one down here, right? In Kildare. And it's called Bono Vox, or it's called, and it was Google.
That's his name. That's his full name is Bono.
Bono Vox. Yeah.
And we're back to Latin. We're back to fucking Latin. We could be jumping into the Jesuit.
Good voice. Good voice. Isn't that what it means? Good voice, essentially.
Voice. Yeah. And that's where he got his nickname from, allegedly. And yeah, the Bono Vox. And
never mind. 64. He's a knight of Malta. He's been knighted by.
Yeah.
Order of the fucking Gilded Garter or whatever it is. It's like.
But so is the guy that plays. So is the guy that plays the Fonz.
Yeah, but isn't and
Henry Winkler? Come on, Frank! You're not going to go with the Henry Winkler. Come on, dude.
No, but listen, listen. The new character.
Yeah,
we got little jackets. How many people have you ever heard that?
Frank's great.
Rock star in a leather jacket gives the Pope a
fucking Richard Branson
of a pair of sunglasses. That if you go look,
what brand were they? What brand were those sunglasses? That's what Ray-Bans. I want to know because I'm going to go and buy them.
Were they Ray-Bans?
Ray-Bans, right? Oh, fantastic.
I think Ray-Ban probably merged with Specsavers just to keep Bono in his fucking goggles. But
so, the Rays.
Yeah. So Ab should be able to get another $400 now for this show with our Ray-Ban advertising.
Yeah, that's speculation on my part, but and on your part. But well, I was just talking about the glasses. But and you've successfully knocked out of my head what I was about to say. So,
well, since I've done that, I may as well go on with this famous comment: underage girls won't make passes at popes that wear glasses.
I don't get it. I'm sorry. I'm a stupid American. I do not get the joke.
I think that original sort of quote came from America. It's something about
from Dorothy Parker
making passes on girls with glasses.
Frank, there's an ice cream down there. Probably getting ice cream. Yeah.
The Vatican ice cream, the fucking Black Pope ice cream van comes down your street.
fair enough.
That's number 65 in the handbook of disrupting the conversation. Get an ice cream truck in.
Well, I heard it. If you didn't,
I heard it too.
And it's probably hot in Australia.
Frank's getting orders from his handler real quick, so we just gotta wait.
Yeah, they're phoning up. They're saying, listen, that they're fucking onto us. You know, they know that you've got an address.
Jack, do not talk about Bono. Okay, do not talk about fucking Bono.
All right, well, shut up about you two and Bono, right?
Did he actually go off and get an ice cream?
In Israel for a holiday and...
It's probably Dave Eager. Dave's calling Frank, that's all.
Anyway, I'll be back in a minute, guys. I'm going to check.
We're just having fun here. It's Fakeologist live stream, audio chat.
Woohoo!
It's getting late for the Brits over there. I don't want to keep you guys too long, so.
Yeah, I'm good. This is ridiculous. I was really tired today because I didn't get any sleep last night and I was working today physically, sort of climbing gutters, hands down drains and all this sort of stuff. Loved it. Lovely. Sweeping. Tired as anything today. Came home and now it's 2:40 in the AM. But I mean, the good news is I'm not completely stupid. I haven't got to get up for anything in the AM. So,
this golden triangle thing, Tom, I'm glad you brought that. Thank you for that.
Oh, did you sort of think about it, have a look at that or something? Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Well, I know how, I mean, these cities and, geographic areas are laid out and they all have connections with the names and the lines connecting them. It's very interesting.
You've planned around these sort of plans of sort of energy, harnessing energy on all this. Yeah. I don't know if it's just a way of planning, but these ancient ways perhaps are good. You know, they still work, still doing them. Plans of, quite traditional methods of rule, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Planning your plans of action on the, I tell you, it is really late here. So yes, I was, it's not such a new thing, is it, in the sense that we know of it, like you said, about the geometric layout of
going back to Washington, D.C. and all these places, yeah.
Yeah, I was looking today at the oldest football stadium in Bilbao, and it's built to something like the dimensions of the Colosseum or something in the same shape as it, certainly.
Mm.
Yeah, on my stadia are like pineal glands idea. These are important kind of, little parts of when you're ruling a body of people, you have these nodes or these glands. Bro, I don't know. But that was fantastic. That fire at Grenfell with that big triangle on it. Well, there you go. That was amazing. I don't know if anyone else has pointed it out, you know.
Well, I heard something about that incident, which was, a lady who had lived in that tower complex and had moved back to her home country. And she came back after this fire and said, where are all the victims? Where is everybody that all this aid is supposed to be going to? You know, where are these people that are going to receive this? And she was just like, I'm here. You know, I came back and I don't know where everybody is. This is weird.
No, but that was on the main. Where did you see that though?
I think it was, I honestly can't remember. I feel like it was on a relatively mainstream source that I heard that. But
you wonder how that would have got through. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If it was.
Exactly. You know, I just brought it up because I don't know if you'd heard about it.
Yeah, but they certainly had a conspiracy theorist guy in. On in the couple of days after it or something, sort of saying, "Oh, you know, I think it could have been a." Some kind of inside job or something, Straight away, there was a guy instantly like being allowed on the mainstream.
Insurance scam, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So there was already a little seed planted with that one on that angle. But, obviously with us, it's not going to wash. It didn't take long to see that the whole thing the word hoax to come in. But, it's an interesting one. But I don't know what if we could expect anything more. There may even, I think I almost expect there to be, because there was a rash of three in the UK anyway, and then I sense there could be, another couple at some point, a little bit later on. I don't know. Yeah, I don't. Again, it gets into the realm of prediction again, and I shouldn't really go. This is just mere conjecture. But yeah, all right, man. I'm really, really so tired now, and I think I will bail out now.
All right.
But I don't want to leave you on your own particularly. Dell's there. Is Dell, are you back yet?
Dell's muted. Frank is there, I think.
Yeah, good night,
Frank,
Tom.
Are you there, Frank? Oh, I didn't mean to fucking, yeah, good night.
I'm sorry.
Are you there?
Yes,
I didn't mean to.
Are you there, dear? Oh, good. Well, yeah, good stuff. Yeah, all right. I'm not leaving you alone in here. And
yeah, but I was talking to you.
I'm just contacting the other side.
Oh, Frank, damn it. Will you stop channeling angels for a second? Get with us here. Come on, Frank.
Is that ice cream van again?
Who's playing that?
The ice cream van has come to Frank's neighborhood with the angelic messages.
No.
Godly. Yes. He's blissed out, isn't he, Frank? Yeah. And why not? Enjoy. And enjoy your company as I did, fellas, and see you later.
All right. Take care, man.
Take care.
Well, anyway, I guess everyone's gone. Frank is muted. Tom and Dell have left the live stream. So perhaps I will sign out. Delqua is there.
Yeah, I pressed the wrong button, man.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to say I was going to go to bed as well because it's late here.
All right.
And I have to bail as well. I've got to bail as well. Great to talk to everyone.
Yep. Good Fakeologist live stream. Stay tuned for Hoaxbusters call going live pretty shortly here, hopefully.
Not tomorrow when I wake up. But for tonight now, good night, man. Frank is gone. He disappeared.
We're all doing the French exit. Yeah.
Yeah, good night to Tom as well. I was talking to a muted mic earlier on, but I say good night to Tom. And I say good night to you as well, man.
Yeah.
And chatting to you again, man, because, looking forward to exploring some of the other avenues that we kind of went into, but, we just sort of veered back into different ones, you know?
Yeah,
like I was saying, there's all sorts of different things out there to talk about. So
to be continued.
Be continued, exactly. All right, James, man. Good night.
Take care. See you, Joe.
All right, take care, man.
Bye bye, Fakeologist audience.
Good night, Ab and everybody else. And tuned to Fakeologist Radio. The audio chats on Discord.
Hi, this is Jeffrey, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.